Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
And today is June 30th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy said Monday he's postponing the restart of indoor dining because of a lack of compliance over the use of face masks and social distancing. Compliance is not a polite suggestion. It is a requirement, he said during a news conference. Murphy cited the spike in other states as well as reports in New Jersey of people not correctly wearing or failing to wear face masks. Unfortunately, the national scene compounded by instances of knucklehead behavior here at home are requiring us to hit pause on the restart of indoor dining for the foreseeable future, he said. On Monday, indoor shopping malls in New Jersey were cleared to start business again. They can operate at 50% capacity. Casinos are set to open Thursday at 25% capacity, Murphy said. That can go forward. However, Atlantic City's Borgata announced that they are hitting the brakes. The casino released a statement to 6ABC saying, "We respect the governor's decision to postpone the reopening of indoor dining in New Jersey to protect the public. Given the decision, our property, Borgata Hotel Casino and Spa in Atlantic City, will remain closed. Our guests expect a special experience when they come to our property, and if we cannot provide the level of hospitality we feel is best, that we will remain closed until such time that the governor lets us know it is safe to offer food and beverage." New Jersey reported 156 new cases yesterday for a total of 171,000, Murphy said. There were 18 new confirmed deaths since Sunday for a total of 13,138 confirmed COVID-19-related deaths. There are also 1,854 suspected coronavirus-linked deaths. Officials in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, say three lifeguards tested positive for COVID-19. Officials say they believe there had been little contact with the public and that the lifeguards spent most of their time in the lifeguard stands. "We immediately executed our COVID response protocol and contacted the local health department. All lifeguards were notified on the exposure and will be tested within 24 hours, said the Rehoboth Police Chief Keith Banks.
This could be alarming because I've seen, on Baywatch, the lifeguards tend to run in slow motion.
Oh, no.
So as they're running past people, I think exposure goes up.
Right. Spending a longer
especially
amount
if they're
of time.
In slow
if they're
motion,
so slow like
it
that.
Seems to be incredibly slow that they run.
That's weird.
I don't know if spacing is possible.
I still want to, like, jump off the lifeguard stand with the, you know, the buoy
the
and, like,
slowly
run into the ocean. It probably won't look as pretty as it could have when I was in my 20s. But the three people are ace. Right, seriously, like falling off my knee, my
ankle. What's wrong with that lifeguard?
What is she doing?
Her leg is broken.
Someone help
I think
her.
She started by running, but I don't know what's going on now.
I think she sat on her buoy.
So the three lifeguards in Rehoboth Beach are asymptomatic and currently quarantined at home. Scammers have found yet another way to take advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic by selling fake antibody tests. A real antibody test will screen your blood for antibodies made when your body fights off an infection. The presence of antibodies can determine if you had COVID-19. The FBI says fake tests potentially provide fake results, which is bad enough, but the people selling the fraudulent kits are really after your personal information. So scammers are interested in things like your name, your date of birth, and your social security number. They may even steal your Medicare or health insurance information. Information like that can be used for future insurance fraud cases. So here's what the FBI says to look out for. People calling you saying that the government is requiring you to take an antibody test. I actually know somebody that happened to. And she was like, "Well, wait a minute. What?" And they were like, "Well, we're doing contact tracing." And she said, "Okay, well, who was I in contact with?"
Right.
And they gave her a first name. Like, it was very bizarre. And she was like, and then they ended up hanging up on her. She got in contact with the CDC and they apologized and they said it wasn't us.
I don't know Snoop Dogg.
Well, it wasn't us. Don't follow whatever that was that called you.
I get, you know, the robocalls and the scam calls every day. And yesterday I had one and it wasn't like that. It doesn't have a direct connection to this particular story, but I'd never heard this approach before. I just said hello and they go, "John." And I could tell immediately because there was a pause before they said anything. It wasn't like somebody was just calling a wrong number. I just hung up immediately, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just, they will go to
all lengths.
All lengths just to scam you, man.
That's what I will. If I get an email I don't recognize, I erase it immediately. If a call comes through I don't recognize, get rid of it. If it's really important, you will be contacted.
Yeah.
Otherwise, ignore it.
I told you, we still have a landline at home. I prefer to have a landline available. And we never answer the damn phone.
I know.
Because it rings so often. And on the TV screen, it'll show the number. And I'm like, nope. Nope. It's just like, and we have become trained to not even react when the phone rings.
Don't even react. I don't even know the phone number. So whoever's calling it is not, I didn't give them that number.
Yeah. We have that same situation, person. There's a phone that sits in the media room of the house, you know, and it just sits there and I can see it blinking. And I haven't checked it in 6 months because no call of any value ever comes to that phone.
Right. So, okay. So the FBI says if people are calling saying that the government is requiring you to take this antibody test, you know, that should raise a red flag. Tests advertise on social media and claims that you can get money for taking the test. You can always look up approved antibody test kits at FDA.gov. And if you think you've already been a victim of a COVID-19 fraud, you can report it to the National Center for Disaster Fraud Hotline. Online, or you can call 866-720-5721. In sports this morning. Brooklyn Nets center DeAndre Jordan tested positive for the coronavirus and opted out of next month's restart with his team. Jordan wrote on Twitter, "Found out last night and confirmed again today that I've been tested, or that I've tested positive for COVID while being back in market. As a result of this, I will not be in Orlando for the resumption of the season." Spencer Dinwiddie also tested positive for COVID-19, though he has yet to officially rule himself out. Over the weekend, forward Wilson Chandler said that he opted out of the season's restart because of family concerns. Arizona Diamondbacks right-hander Mike Leake will opt out of the 2020 season. He was scheduled to make $16 million for a full season in 2020 and will be a free agent next season. Washington Nationals first baseman Ryan Zimmerman and pitcher Joe Ross are also opting out of the abbreviated season for the personal health and safety of themselves and their loved ones. Zimmerman was the Nationals' first draft pick when the franchise moved out of Montreal and has played for the team since making his debut in September of 2005. He said in a statement, "After a great deal of thought and given my family circumstances, three young children, including a newborn, and a mother at high risk, I have decided not to participate in the 2020 season." And finally, there are now guidelines in MLB's operational manual that allows for mascots at ballparks this season, but with some restrictions. Obviously, home clubs may have their mascot in the ballpark if they choose. However, under no circumstances are mascots permitted on the field of play or in any other restricted area on game days. Therefore, the Fanatic won't be allowed to drive his four-wheeler across the field this year, but he can at least be in the building. For obvious reasons, the Fanatic won't be entertaining any fans inside the ballpark, but he'll be there for entertaining fans sitting at home watching on television. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. And the sun is up. We are starting another day together. We're happy to have you on board once again. Everybody doing all right?
Yeah. Good. Damn good.
Wonderful. Excellent. Well, we don't have any guests today, so we don't have that, but we've got tonight.
We do have tonight.
Well, that's a party.
Who needs tomorrow? Why don't you stay? Yeah. All right.
You have to.
But we do have stuff to give away, so we'll have a chance to win a few things. We'll have some engaging conversation. We'll include you in them, too. Let's all be a part of this big party ride on the way into work today.
It's a pithy palooza. That's beautiful.
Let's crank it up a notch.
Yeah. It's a frat party. Let's go.
Let's get the energy going at 6:21 a.m. Let's really get you moving. All right, so anyhow.
I would give good money to have seen the faces on the people.
Oh, my God. Of your fraternity brothers.
Nick's fraternity brothers when you put this on mid-party.
You know, I'm still in touch with two of the guys. One guy's name, Steve, is Bud Schenk. And Bud Schenk's probably looks exactly like what you expect a guy from Central PA. He's a huge Metallica fan. Mm-hmm. And it was his room where this happened.
Does he remember it?
Probably, yeah. But
I know. I'll put it on in the Metallica fans' room.
He'll find ways to make fun of me that you guys haven't even thought of.
Right. No kidding. Well,
he has background.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we should get him on.
Yeah, we should get Bud on.
And we should hear the story and see if he remembers this moment that took place in Nick's life when the frat party, he felt this would really, really bring things up.
You ready? Yeah. Crank it up.
All right. You know what? I don't want to get laid. I want to find love.
That's me and college in a nutshell, Steve.
All right. So listen, I do have a stack of entertainment stories. We're going to get to those and stupid question, give us some stuff away. So we'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us on the way in this morning.
Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question prize today, a digital download of Shameless, the complete 10th season. We're going to talk about actor Chadwick Boseman. Holds a degree from Oxford University, and what famous actor paid for his tuition?
Huh.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you happen to know the answer to that. Chadwick Boseman holds a degree from Oxford University. What famous actor paid for his tuition? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to go through birthdays while we're waiting for that answer. It's June 30th, last day of June. I can't believe it. And celebrating birthdays today include actor Vincent D'Onofrio. Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket.
Amazing performance.
Yep.
He's done so much more, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He's in a freaky movie that I really like. He plays a very ominous character called, I think it's The Cell.
Yeah, the movie's The Cell with Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez. It's,
weird movie.
It's freaky, yeah.
Yeah, and he plays the serial killer that keeps these women and slowly kind of drowns them, keeps them in this
tank
that slowly fills up. And then he, like, bleaches their skin white and takes their bodies and does, he's messed
and
up.
There are these dream sequences or these sort of, I guess he can bring, I forget exactly the machinations of the movie.
She can be put into someone else's
mind.
In his mind, he's this god-like character, and she goes into his mind because he's incapacitated or something along those lines. And it's a messed up movie.
I remember a scene where they're walking along Preston, and it's like a horse split into thin
sections.
Yeah. It's pretty wild.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great actor. He celebrates his 61st birthday today. Actress Lizzie Kaplan.
I like her.
I do too, man. I have a thing for her.
She's very... Cloverfield?
Yep. She was in... That was the first thing I ever saw her in, and she had a run in Masters of Sex.
You know, she's really good in the movie The Interview, which is the comedy
I didn't see it.
Kim Jong-il.
You know what, Steve, and I told you that, you know, you and I both watched Castle Rock the first season.
Yes.
And we were, like, confused by it. And I'm a huge Stephen King fan, so I waited forever to watch the second season. I ended up liking the second season, and she's the main focus in the second season. She's really good at it.
Did you like second season more than the first season?
Much more.
All right, then I might check it out.
So she's 38 today. Hey, Modest Yahoo celebrates his birthday today. We love that guy.
One of the best in-studio performances ever, Modest Yahoo.
You ever come to camp out, Modest Yahoo?
I don't know.
I don't know
he
either.
He came to the belly flop challenge.
I feel like he did,
in his
Nick.
Full rabbinical outfit. that was the Hebrew hammer.
Yeah, that's right.
this is a great song. And he's just the nicest man every time he's been in here.
He's really good in that horror movie, The Possession.
That's right. I never saw it.
And that's basically a Jewish exorcist.
Yeah.
Marissa Singh, 2014 camp out.
Oh,
okay.
Cool.
There you go.
Hasidic Jewish rapper, reggae rapper is the description I'm reading here.
This is a song that he played for us in our studio, but I suggest if you've never heard any other of his music, King Without a Crown.
Yeah,
great song.
Excellent.
And We've Got Tonight, too.
And We've Got Tonight
in Hebrew.
Modest Yahoo celebrates his 41st birthday today. All right, you also have Philip Anselmo, the lead singer of Pantera. And he turns, he's only 52 years old today. I thought the Pantera gang was a little bit older than that, but no.
How long has this been a bed for us?
Ages.
Decades. I love this.
We have used this for a long time. It's a walk.
Yeah.
And it just, it sounds great. And I know Pantera fans hate the fact that we don't play the whole song, but I love this. He's 52 today. Let's stay on that metal vein for a bit. It's Yngwie's birthday today.
Yngwie!
This was the first time anybody heard someone play the guitar quite like this back in the day. Now, tons of people play like that now, but Yngwie was the first to really do stuff stuff like that.
I saw him in concert, believe it or not. I think I told you this. My brother, just, you know, rock guitarist, thought he was God. Loved Van Halen, but I went to this show. I knew nothing about him. I was blown away.
Yeah,
I
his, mean, his speed was unmatched
at
the time.
I don't know if I liked the music, but I was just impressed.
Yeah. So he turns 57 today. He's supposed to be a big egomaniac.
Yeah, that's right here. Yeah.
Mike Tyson also has a birthday today.
Have you seen him?
Lately?
He's, like, ripped. Like,
well, Steve was saying he's been training.
He's been training for the fight, and he is, like, back in shape. Like, old Mike Tyson
Kathy,
shape.
He is a... Facing him in the ring, I can think of nothing more horrific.
Seriously.
I mean, he's still got it.
You could die.
You could die.
He could spin your neck around so hard it could kill you. That's what a badass he has always been.
And Jamie Foxx is actually going to play him, and Jamie Foxx now is in Mike Tyson shape.
Oh, nice. My son, for some reason, has become obsessed with me getting in the ring with Mike Tyson lately. He's been asking me how much it would cost. To get me in the ring with Mike Tyson, and I said, no amount of money. No, back when I was younger, I'd be like, yeah, for $1 million, I'd do a round with Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I realized that he could actually literally punch my face off.
Fresh Prince used to have a song called I'd Fight Mike Tyson.
Really?
It was
that him?
What's that? Was that him? What do you mean?
was that him who sang that song?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's why I said he did.
Oh, okay.
I said Fresh Prince... had a song called I Would Fight Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't say that.
Can I get some popcorn? Can
what
you guys
did I
just
say?
Hold a second?
Hold on.
It's not just I didn't say that. You asked the question. You were like...
No, I thought I was saying... Is it me?
I don't...
It's him, right. No, you asked the question.
It was
you asked the question.
I realized they had entered another dimension.
I thought I stated. It's called I Think I Could Beat Mike Tyson.
I'm pretty sure there's a question mark at the end of that sentence.
Okay.
And not a period.
Funny how.
We need someone to describe that exchange.
Text now. Was it me or was it Casey?
It's him, right?
Who messed it? Was him, right?
Wow. Marissa's going to go check the tape on the...
Anyway, the concept of the song was that for X million dollars, would you step in the ring and fight Mike Tyson?
Right. No, I
wouldn't. Yeah, sure, meaning that you would be killed or, you know, you would almost die, but you'd make a lot of money in the process.
Now, is that a question?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it up to him?
Mike Tyson's 54 today. David Allen...
You guys, it looked as if he had started to speak Mandarin Chinese.
Well, he just looks at me and goes, yeah. Did he sing it? I'm like, well, I just said that, right?
I said it was him. It was him? He sang that?
Oh, man.
All right. Anyhow.
I swear to God, here, and this is a warning to anybody listening right now. If you text in the words, Casey, shut up, I'm going to block you. And you will no longer be able to text into the show.
However, I'll
even
be
if
your
you're joking
friend.
Around, it doesn't come across as joking. This is your last warning.
Wait, everyone's you're saying you're wrong,
you're
Casey.
Not getting a ton of support on this, Casey.
It's okay. Care.
I know. Fine. People are being nice.
Yeah.
Hey, I love the guy. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's nothing can break
are
that.
Are you talking about Will Smith or Casey?
Ain't nothing going to break up my stride, guys.
Oh, just stay tuned in today. I can tell it's going to be an awesome day.
Well, here's one that says you're both idiots. So,
there you go. Yeah. All right, you can stay.
Wonder Twin Powers. All right, David Alan Greer also celebrates a birthday today. He's awesome. I love him.
Love him.
His sense of humor is great.
I'll fight him for $1 million.
He's 64. And then the last birthday is Michael Phelps. He's won 14 gold Olympic medals, the most by any Olympian ever.
What was his daily caloric intake when he was at the height of training?
Like 6,000.
6,000 calories. He had a beautiful condo. It was down in the Baltimore, the waterfront there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could, when you went down to the dock, you could see it right across. It was right at the edge of one of the condominiums, penthouse. It was unbelievable.
Happy 35th birthday to Michael Phelps. All right, listen.
The pregnant pause as you were both trying to grasp.
It was you?
It was almost like you're the first alien encounter.
Listen, I swear.
When you're looking for a common language.
We all... when you question what I said, I was like, well, what did I say? Like I know sounds came out of my mouth.
Are you the man?
Yeah.
What?
So you're questioning two things at the same time at that point. You're questioning yourself.
But we all do it. Like Steve says, wow, after a birthday, as if like he's the person that just had a birthday for the first time in the history of man.
Yeah.
And like, it's just an expression. So when, you know, like we all have, I had sounds come out of my mouth, and then you questioned my sounds, and I was like, what did I say? What did you say?
You made the point brilliantly.
Okay, so
the explanation is absolutely irrefutable.
Stupid question. Chadwick Boseman holds a degree from Oxford University. What famous actor paid for his tuition? I'm going to go to Ashley. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, it's actually Ashlyn.
Ashlyn. Okay, Ashlyn. Who paid for Chadwick Boseman's tuition?
Was it Denzel Washington?
It was Denzel, of course. And you got it right, so that means we are going to give you a digital download of Shameless, the complete 10th season, which is available now. We're going to start. Let's get the Kardashian crap out of the way.
Out your mouth.
Kim's brand has skyrocketed to billionaire status thanks to KKW's deal with cosmetic conglom Coty Incorporated.
Coty was the one that invested in Kylie's cosmetic company.
That is correct. Per the $200 million deal, Coty now has a 20% stake in her business. She said, this relationship will allow me to focus on the creative elements that I'm so passionate about while benefiting from the incredible resources of Coty.
Launching
my products around the world. So she's essentially handed the business off to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she can work on the creative elements.
Which means they bring stuff into her and she points at it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what she does. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
It's her affiliation that's worth all this money.
It's true. The deal is reportedly for a long-term strategic partnership to launch products and grow the brand across the globe. Coty, of course, purchased the majority stake, as Steve said, in Kylie's brand for $600 million. Though, as many fans will recall, Forbes had demoted Kylie from the youngest billionaire status this year, reporting that she'd fudged the numbers a bit, a claim she staunchly denies. Johnny Depp's libel battle with the British tabloid The Sun was dealt a setback by a high court judge who ruled that he failed to properly disclose all of his texts.
This is an outrage.
Depp is suing Dan Wooten, the executive director of The Sun, and the paper's publisher, News Group Newspapers, owned by Rupert Murdoch. He claims the paper defamed him when it referred to him as a wife beater in April of 2018. We know about that. His ex, Amber Heard, as many recall, accused him of abusing her, a charge he strenuously denies. Now, the paper wants case thrown out, claiming that Depp failed to disclose texts that allegedly showed him attempting to buy drugs while he was in Australia with Heard in 2015. This was when they had the dog thing, right?
That bizarre apology video?
He was allegedly texting his assistant, Nathan Holmes, in a bid to score shortly before Heard claimed that she was the subject to a three-day ordeal of physical assaults from Depp while he was under the influence of drink and or drugs.
I want to buy some crick.
Justice Nicholl had ruled on Monday that Depp's team should have disclosed the text. He said the Australian drug texts were adverse to the claimant's pleaded case. There you go. And or were supportive of the defendant's pleaded case. So the judge said, I agree that the timing is significant. The exchanges with Mr. Holmes began shortly before the alleged incidents in Australia. He did not strike out the case and instead gave Depp the opportunity to continue the suit by applying for relief against sanctions ahead of a three-week trial set to kick off July 7th. And here's some of the details.
All right. So we're talking a setback.
It's not thrown out or anything that. So one of the texts read, we should have some more happy pills. And then it has three exclamation points and two question marks. And then it says, another one said, may I be ecstatic again? Question mark, question mark, question mark. And in a separate message, Depp said, need more whitey stuff ASAP, brother man.
What? Wow, man. He writes like a 70s pimp.
Totally.
Is that coke, I guess?
Yeah.
I think is what he's looking for. Yeah.
And ecstasy. And
happy pills, I guess. Yeah. Ecstatic again. So yeah. It's a reference to ecstasy.
And happy pills are probably Flintstones vitamins.
Yeah. Because those are fun.
It cracked me up.
They're just
especially
fun.
Especially when you get a Dino.
Yeah. Those were my favorites. Purple.
You can find the
Dinos for purple.
Yeah.
All right, so rapper and music mogul Dr. Dre, his wife, Nicole Young, has filed for divorce. Young is 50. She filed for divorce from Dre after 24 years of marriage on Monday, citing irreconcilable differences, according to TMZ. Dre, who's 55, of course, founded the hugely lucrative Beats Electronics brand, is said to be worth an estimated $800 million, and sources tell the outlet that the pair did not sign a prenuptial agreement.
No prenup, so she's looking at least $400 million.
I would think so.
And that's without property.
Because they live in California, right?
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm.
The rapper married Nicole on May 25th, 1996. She was formerly married to NBA player, and I'll mess up this name, Sadale Threat.
Oh.
Is that his name?
Sadale Threat.
Threat. Okay. Yeah. Sadale Threat. Young is reportedly seeking spousal support and is being represented by celebrity attorney Samantha Spector in the divorce.
Yeah.
Now, she is also a lawyer herself. The pair share two adult children together, daughter Truly Young, who is 19, and son Truce Young, who is 23.
All right. A quick question. So if she ends up with $400 million.
Mm-hmm.
Spousal support can still be added on top of that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. I'm not really sure. So they made their last public appearance as a couple at the Tom Ford Fashion Show with their daughter Truly in February of this year. The same month, Dre talked about his birthday plans. It included his wife during an interview. He has often posted sweet messages about his marriage on Instagram, revealing in 2018 that he had whisked his wife away to New York via helicopter to see the musical Hamilton for their 22nd wedding anniversary.
How romantic.
A year earlier, he proudly posted a tribute writing, Married 21 Years, The Defiant Ones, a reference to the documentary about Dre and his music industry legend friend Jimmy Iovine.
We'll never get divorced.
However, it now appears that things have turned sour as his wife has hired, like I said, high-powered Hollywood attorney Spector, whose notable clients include Jenna Dewan and Amber Heard. In 2014, the music company that Dre established, Beats, was sold to Apple for $3 billion, which led him being held as the first billionaire in hip-hop through Forbes, though Forbes recently pegged his wealth at $800 million. The same
what
year,
a demotion.
He purchased a $400 million home in the Brentwood neighborhood of Los Angeles, and he bought it from previous owner Tom Brady and supermodel Gisele Bündchen. And it goes on to list his career and how much money he's made and all this good stuff. So,
do you think when these wealthy people like Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen leave a home, do you think that they're like you could go and discover his old penthouse magazines? Or, you know, like they usually like stuff that they just store in the attic. Or I assume they have people come through and get rid of all incriminating stuff.
They're calling it quits.
Yeah, man.
Divorce. We'll see
what
happens.
That's it. $400 million.
Yeah. Colin Kaepernick's journey to activism will be the subject of a 6-part series on Netflix, and it will be directed by Ava DuVernay. The creator and director of Netflix's Now They See Us will work closely with the former NFL quarterback for a scripted drama series called Colin in Black and White. The Emmy-nominated Michael Starbury penned the script and will executive produce with DuVernay and Kaepernick. An actor will be hired to play Kaepernick in his childhood years, and he's going to play himself.
Oh, no
which
kidding.
Will be interesting because I have no idea if the dude's ever done any acting before in his life.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
DuVernay said with his act of protest, Colin Kaepernick ignited a national conversation about race and justice with far-reaching consequences for football, culture, and for him personally. Colin's story has much to say about identity, sports, and the enduring spirit of protest and resilience. I couldn't be happier than to tell the story with the team at Netflix. So I have no idea on a timetable on that, but they are getting together to do it. Meghan Markle embarrassed Prince Harry after revealing that she was pregnant on Princess Eugene's wedding day.
Oh.
A new royal tells all called royal. A new royal tell-all
Eugene.
Called Royals at War claims it was a huge social gaffe that infuriated Eugene and her mother, Sarah Ferguson.
How could you do that?
Yes.
Are you crazy? How could you do that?
The book's authors, Dylan Howard and Andy Tillett, claim the mom-to-be made the reveal while celebrating Eugene and Jack Brooks Banks' wedding with the royal family, October 12, 2018.
I mean, listen, that's not even like like royal protocol. Like, you don't do that.
Yeah,
right?
that's the
wedding. You don't do that.
You don't.
Are you crazy?
Are you crazy?
The book claims Meghan put her foot in it.
What?
When she decided that it would be the ideal moment to announce that she and Harry were expecting their first child. Huh. Continuing, this was a huge social gaffe. Even if you're not a royal, stealing the limelight from Eugene, who was furious, as was her mother, Sarah. The pair shared the news with the public on the eve of their royal tour of Australia and New Zealand in October of 2000.
Imagine if everything you did was constrained by some sort of royal protocol. Yeah. Like every goddamn thing.
Yeah, you had to check.
You must wipe laterally.
Yes.
Ah, come on. That's not how Eugene does it.
Yeah. Or you must now sit while wiping.
Right.
Which Casey's
Eugene
is the way to go. Meghan, meanwhile, is busy building a new life in L.A. with Harry and their son, Archie. The pair are throwing themselves into social causes, including Black Lives Matter. Meghan and Harry have reached out to a number of organizations and people, and Meghan reportedly had a lengthy conversation with an 18-year-old black woman from Wisconsin who was set on fire in a possible hate crime. Meghan and Althea Bernstein reportedly spoke for 40 minutes on Saturday after getting in touch with the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. Tyler Cameron was spotted out on a lunch date with model Jalissa Anna Zoltko.
Who?
In Florida. I don't know.
Jalissa.
Oh, after her ex, Hannah Brown, left Florida in April.
Yeah, Tyler was the second choice that she passed on.
TMZ published shots of him working out with a woman.
I'm working out. I'm picking stuff up and then I put it back down again. Lots of times.
But she shot down speculation.
Working up sweat.
Pre-Brown, Cameron was dating Gigi Hadid.
Gigi.
And
it tickles the roof of my mouth when I say that.
No word yet from either Cameron or the swimsuit model on the latest rumors. But her name is Jalissa. And Zoltko.
Kabako.
So.
Just making noises over there.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's pretty stunning. There's a picture of him working out, and the dude's all cut up.
Of course he is.
Yeah, of course.
That's his livelihood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I watch Jeopardy almost every night, and that's on 6 ABC. And I turned the TV off and came back, turned the TV back on, and there's a Bachelor on last
yes.
night.
Yes. And the greatest Bachelor ever.
Okay,
apparently.
Yeah. I guess that's what's happening this season. So here's what I tuned into. There was a guy walking around in the woods, and they had a camera on the guy walking around in the woods, and then he ended up, and then they cut to inside the house, and there's dudes in the house doing whatever the dudes are doing, and then the guy in the woods shows up at the door, and he starts scraping at the door.
What?
This is what happened on The Bachelor last night. And then so one of the guys like, dude, bro's at the front door. And the other guy's like, wait, what? He's like, seriously. Bros at the front door.
Bros at the front door.
Bros okay. at the front door. Seriously, man.
Okay.
That's what. And then I turned that off. That was.
Oh,
that
you
was
didn't find out what the bro was?
Or? I thought this was the back door.
He was scratching on the door. Yeah.
So I guess that was a big surprise for all the other bros in the house that the bro who was walking in the woods
you missed
came back
the part,
to the house.
Like at night, they put the bro out for the night.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
They put him out with a camera crew
right.
to follow him around walking right. in the woods.
Bros, and then bros at the front door.
Bro
bros
lost.
Door. Yeah, bro.
You serious, bro? Yeah, bros at the door.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh. That's TV.
I'm not enough of a bro to watch that show.
Okay. All right. All right, well, moving on to a couple other stories here. The Broadway League has confirmed what seemed to many inevitable. Broadway theater will not return until next year at the earliest.
Oh, man. We had tickets for Music Man with, who's that guy, Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
And that got all pushed back, and then it was looking like it was pushed back to, God, maybe like July of next year already?
July of next year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we were supposed to go.
There's
going to
be no Broadway if it goes to July of next year. They can board all that up. It's not going to come back. They're struggling right now.
Yeah.
Per the league, performances will officially be suspended until January 2nd, 2021. Previously, the goal was to return to the stage after Labor Day, but that is not going to happen.
And you guys know that besides the theaters, all the restaurants around there, they live for that stuff. If you ever go to a restaurant around Broadway, their meal times and everything, the way they run the meals, it's all scheduled around the shows.
Well, and they're also, you can buy packages where you go to dinner and then they get you out in time to get to your show.
Right.
I remember one time, man, they got us through so quick. They were basically force feeding us. It's like, come on.
No kid.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
My cousin is in the union that sets up the stages for the different shows, and he's basically just not working.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Let's see. Orange is the New Black star, Taylor Schilling, confirmed that she is dating musician and artist Emily Ritz. On Instagram stories, she wrote, "I couldn't be more proud to be by your side.
Everything tastes good when it sits on a Ritz.
Happy Pride." And that's all there is to it.
Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, and I used to like Ritz crackers.
Good
I liked
crack
Andy Griffith.
You don't
and
like,
he supported LGBTQ.
You don't like Ritz anymore?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. This is interesting. John Wick director Chad Stahelski. One of Hollywood's most legendary stuntmen. Before he began working as a stunt coordinator and director, he was Brandon Lee's double on The Crow.
Yep.
He was in Captain America: Civil War, Birds of Prey, The Matrix 4. And when asked recently if he thinks there should be an Academy Award for stunt work, he had an interesting answer. He said, "If wardrobe, hair and makeup, certainly all the creative departments here are considered for Oscars, then yes, it makes perfect sense that the stunt department would be considered for an Oscar." He said, "Now, on a personal level, being a former stuntman, second unit director, and all that stuff, for all the generations that were either before me, trained me, or current now, I don't know a single person in my 30 years of work that got into stunts to win an Oscar." He also made the point that while the recognition may be long overdue, the creation of an Oscar category for stunts won't make or break the people behind the scenes. He said, "Apart from all that, as a stunt community, I don't think we've ever been held back. I think we've done a pretty effing good job without being motivated by an award. It's always been a bit of a stunt person thing to be like, look, I'm not doing this for the thanks. You are, according to the song, the unsung hero. We're not doing it because we want to be celebrities. I have three or four friends that I think are some of the best stunt performers on the planet. When they come to me and they say, hey, good job, or hey, we liked your movie. We thought this is really cool. On a personal level, that's all I need. I'm good," he says. But there should be, don't you think?
Oh, especially, yes. There honestly should be. And it can go all the way back. It's a funny thing that, and he brings up a very salient point when you're giving for wardrobe and other stuff like that. There have been years where they haven't, I remember years where they didn't award special effects awards and things of that nature, and or makeup awards. I mean, like real, you know, prosthetic stuff, some heavy duty stuff. Anything that's like that, and the stunts especially, you're taking stuff that's raised to high art, like the John Wick stuff. It's just amazing.
They are literally awarding every single aspect of filmmaking except for that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing sound and, you know, like all of it.
I wonder if they feel that maybe the Academy wouldn't be qualified enough to judge stunts, you know what I mean?
But the stuntmen are members of the Academy, aren't they?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think there should be. I think absolutely. I mean, these people get injured and some die on rare occasions, and it's part of the entertainment aspect of even movies that aren't really stunt-based.
Well,
there are stunts in movies that are just dramas and things like that
Right. Many times stuntmen on movie sets, Preston, it's happened quite often, especially with this guy, where they will actually suggest a scene or a way to do a scene that becomes iconic in a movie.
Yeah.
There's a great YouTube channel, I mentioned it a couple of times, called Corridor Crew, and they review special effects, and they're special effects artists, and they'll bring stuntmen in to review stunts on films. And, it's just amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to, and they're showing, like, the classic Ben-Hur sequence, where the dude was pulled behind the chariot. It's just unbelievable.
Yep. All right, one more quick story. The first trailer for Aretha Franklin's biopic, Respect, starring Jennifer Hudson, has dropped. The film will follow Franklin's career from a child singing in her father's church choir to worldwide stardom. She, of course, passed away in 2018. The film also stars Forrest Whitaker, Marlon Wayans, Audra McDonald, Titus Burgess. Mark Maron is a main character in there, Kimberly Scott. And a bunch of others. Heather Headley, Sky Dakota,
I hope it's
Turner,
good.
Tate Donovan, and Mary J. Blige. The film will be released in December. Yeah, the you know, it's her singing.
Yeah,
it's Jennifer
and she
Hudson,
nails it.
And she's outstanding. And as great of a singer, and I think Jennifer Hudson has one of the most beautiful voices in today's music. She's still not as good. Aretha just was
no.
was just another level, man. She was just incredible. But she's going to do it justice.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So I am looking forward to seeing that. All right. Let's do clips. Jordan Peele puts a modern twist on the classic anthology series, The Twilight Zone. And in this clip, Jordan discusses the impact that Rod Serling left on the original series. Here we go.
Every episode sort of requires a different conversation. That's what, you know, Serling and his squad of writers were perfect at, was like addressing societal issues through these allegories.
Holy no way!
And Serling wrote like 90% of those Twilight Zone episodes. And there are a lot of them.
He wrote a ton of them. Yeah.
The Twilight Zone is streaming now on CBS All Access. Next clip. Contestants tackle a board filled with cash and prizes as they try to avoid the whammy in the revived version of Press Your Luck. In this clip, Elizabeth Banks talks about preparing for this hosting role her whole life.
I loved it growing up. I would come home after school and watch the No Whammies. It's really fun to be a part of. Season 2 is bonkers. We give away a lot of money and a lot of prizes. And I just had the greatest time with all of the contestants.
What the f***?
I got to talk to my friend Todd. He used to be the host of Press Your Luck. I got to talk to him and see what he thinks about Elizabeth Banks being the host for this version of it. Sure, he loves it.
I'm thrilled to be left out of something I was a part of initially.
Press Your Luck airs Sunday at 9 on ABC. And that's what I have in our entertainment
the world of entertainment
today, friends. There it is for you on a silver platter on the Preston and Steve Show. All right, let's take a break and come back in a moment and see what we can get into when we return. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration, and complete details at WMMR.com. And check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
So we were just talking off air about Independence Day weekend, coming up holiday weekend. New Jersey is rolling back some of the plans that they had for the weekend.
Right.
As far as abilities to eat inside and so on. So, Casey, you had brought up what can you do, right?
Well, yeah, not only that, but like...
Where can you go or what's something different?
There are places to go to. There are things to do. It's just we may not know them.
Well, you know, it seems like all of the good ideas have already been taken, right? So Nick, for instance, is, looking to rent an RV and... Well, apparently that's such a good idea that everybody's renting RVs, and RVs are charging you like quadruple the price. And, it's like, what is there out there that you can do that maybe we haven't even thought of yet?
Okay.
Or stuff that you've thought of that you didn't realize was available.
Yeah. Okay.
So some kind of a getaway of sorts?
I'd say maybe Independence Day activities.
Well, we're going to need a jingle.
We might need a jingle.
Kyle?
Cobble one together.
Jingle, please.
Maybe he could just call in and jingle over the line. Yeah.
You know what? I got an email from Kyle. Kyle, the guy, do you have the Corona activities while I'm looking
for
that?
I
do.
I know exactly what he's doing. I don't even have to read it.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to read his email.
Yeah, read it.
He said, I don't know how adventurous you guys plan on being this summer, but I just want to let you know that I'm singing every Friday night this summer at the Laguna Beach Bar and Grill in Brigantine with a new band I joined. He says there are 8 pieces complete with a horn section.
Wow.
And just wanted to extend this invite in case you guys are ever down the shore in the AC area.
So he's rocking a big band thing.
Yeah.
And it is outside.
Kyle's so that was a great singer, man.
That was my big question for him was, because I'm not familiar with Brigantine, is,
oh, yeah,
is
that's like whether the or not bar the, to go to
that's
there.
The one?
Yeah.
It's huge. Okay.
He didn't say the name of the band in here. Do you know the name of the band?
I do not know. I think it's Sexual Chocolate.
Sexual Chocolate.
Yeah.
They're great.
Them. Yeah. So Kyle McCarty, and you can go see them, his band. It's an eight-piece band at the Laguna Beach Bar and Grill in Brigantine. So I want to pass that along.
My wife had suggested maybe she was going to maybe take the kids to the drive-thru safari at Six Flags because that's going to be open soon. Or it might be open now.
I think
now.
It's already open. They opened it a little while back.
Yeah, the safari opened a little while back. So I have a list of some like amusement parks that are opened.
Here we go.
That's you know what people want to do. But
the activity queen.
But the actual parks. So Six Flags is going to open on July 3rd for season ticket holders and then to the public on the 4th. Governor Phil Murphy did announce that amusement parks and water parks can reopen on Thursday, but as of right now, their water park is not opened.
So Dorney is the same thing, right? That was like we had gotten word last week that Dorney was going to, you know what, let me get that information because that was important stuff. And we
want to be authoritative.
Well, not only that, Steve, but we were not. What's the word I'm looking at?
You're asking if they're opened?
Yeah, we were embargoed from mentioning it any sooner, I think, than, yeah. So,
well, it's announced. Right. It's on their website. They're opening July 8th, and they're actually having a 4th of July drive-in fireworks.
Ooh.
Dorney
has? Yeah, so you have to stay in your car.
That's okay.
All right, I'm going to recommend one. There's this place in upstate PA. It's called Elk County, Pennsylvania, and I went camping there about a month ago. And, Preston, I gave you sort of a brochure about...
Yes,
well, the elk. Yeah, so they have the largest wild elk herd in the state. Is
that right?
And, you know, Casey, you mentioned the safari, which you can do in New Jersey and see animals that are not native to New Jersey. But if you go to this part of Pennsylvania, you can see wild elk. There's bears, there's deer. And if you're at all interested in doing outdoor stuff, it's probably an overnight trip. It's probably not a day trip because the there and back is about 4 hours. But it's a gorgeous part of the state that I've never been to before, and I cannot recommend it more highly.
Couple of texts coming in. It says July 4th is statewide Fish for Free Day.
Oh, man. Just go into any store and take the fish?
Just take a fish. It's free.
I don't think that's
you mean fishing?
Fishing rod and go anywhere you want, it says here. It doesn't say what state, Case. I'm guessing it's Pennsylvania, but we may want to check on that. But July 4th, statewide Fish for Free Day. Somebody says rent a small boat and go fishing or crabbing. Hold on, wait a minute.
That's a good idea.
Oh, and about the safari. Somebody texted in and says it takes like 4 hours. Plan accordingly. Really? Mm-hmm. I think that's maybe if they're busy, but that's a guess. I don't really know. Huh. Okay. Right.
So I'm looking at the facility, Howling Woods Farm, which has a wolf sanctuary.
Cool.
And that's something I'd like to do. Nick, you've done it, right?
I did not that one. There's one out in Lititz.
Right.
I think this is 2 days in a row. We've mentioned Lititz, PA. And it's really cool. And it's not expensive. It's maybe 100 acres, something like that.
All right.
Yeah, and you could do that. That's definitely a day trip. You can go to and from Lititz.
Are they open? Because this one in Howling Woods Farm seems to be open.
Okay, yeah. I'll check on the one in Lititz.
Yeah.
Hey, anyway, it is Pennsylvania that on July 4th will be Fish for Free Day statewide.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So a lot, though, with these amusement parks that are reopening, you actually have to make reservations, which you've never had to do before. You'd actually just be able to buy a ticket and go. So most of them, and including the zoos as well, you buy tickets and you actually reserve a time and you have to go on that day and time.
What's the status with the zoo? So same thing, you make reservations, you go in, and obviously they're keeping admittance. They're trying to manage the crowd, correct?
Yeah, right. So everybody's doing the extra sanitation.
Everyone gets a monkey, though.
No, everyone leaves with a monkey. Yes, your own monkey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really nice of them to do that.
I love that they have those baskets full of living monkeys. No, so is it at like half? Well, I guess they could.
So they do. That's why you have to make the reservation.
Okay.
They are going to cap it. Here, I'll run through all
Please.
Of the stuff that I have. And every place is doing their own version of, you know, cleaning. And some are at the discretion of the ride operators and things like that. But
it's beautiful.
So the Philadelphia Zoo reopens on July 9th. There's a member preview day. Most parks are doing this, too, the member preview day, where the members can go ahead of time. So that's July 6th to the 8th. Reservations are required there. The Elmwood Park Zoo is actually already open, but you do also have to buy a ticket with a specific time prior to visiting the zoo. They're actually having issues with their ticketing, their ticket operating system. So if you just bring your order number on the day and time that you scheduled, you'll be fine to get into the Elmwood Park Zoo.
Elmwood is a great zoo. If you've not been there, it's also it's so obviously the zoo here is great, but the Elmwood has a bit less, but it's very seeable and very doable in a shorter amount of time. And I love it. I love the vibe there.
I love it there. I always said it's so much, it's great for younger kids, but I mean, Jace is almost 9 now, and he still loves going there.
Yeah. And it reminds me a lot of the Cape May Zoo. Kath, do you have any information in the Cape May Zoo?
You know what? No, I didn't get to the Cape May Zoo, but
what about the Wazoo?
I did get to the so Maury's Pier is opening on July 2nd. One of the piers, is it the Mariners Amusement Pier case?
Sure.
Okay, that'll be open from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m., but the Surfside and Adventure Piers, they'll remain closed. The Starlux Mini Golf will be open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Raging Waters Water Park, they are reopening, but the Ocean Oasis Water Park will remain closed. Now, Ocean City says the same thing, that they're opening on July 2nd. However, I saw pictures, and I feel like some that of their rides might already be opened.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that, but I did see some pictures. Hershey Park is welcoming back guests on July 3rd with preview days for season ticket holders on July 1st. All parts of their park are reopening. So they have a new coaster, the Candymorium. The zoo will be opened, and their water park is going to be open. And they actually have a new entrance into Hershey's Chocolate Town.
Where?
Right at the entrance of the park.
Really?
Yep. It's a whole new upgrade. These upgrades were supposed to be debuted in the spring, but obviously that didn't happen. So they're doing it now. Yeah, so Hershey Park will be opened on July 3rd to the public.
Is that coaster also that you met? Is it Candymonium? What's the name of it?
Oh, yeah, Candymonium, yes.
So what was...
Candymonium.
We were reporting about that. It's the tallest, fastest coaster that they've ever had? Is that the deal?
Yep, and it spans right across that new entrance. So it's right there, right cool. when you walk in. Yeah.
There's a new entrance?
Yeah, they I just said they
I'm sorry, I was reading some text messages.
Yeah, so they wanted to debut this in the spring. They redid the entire entrance of the park. And they were supposed to debut it this spring. Obviously that didn't happen. So it's sort of like a mini debut now.
I liked it. I like the way they have this laid out.
We're looking at a rendering of it right now.
So it's a it was a weirder way into the park. It was a little more constricting, and this is a wider
They've redone opening. The restaurants. You'll be able to eat outside, like right when you walk in there. There's, you know, obviously more candy shops, of course.
I love that place.
Yeah, and then this
sweetest place on earth,
this
Mother Effers.
Coaster right at the entrance.
I should say that.
Yeah.
So what else is opening? Legoland is opening on Sunday. The attraction introduced enhanced cleaning measures throughout the day and before each playtime. So again, you'll have to schedule your tickets here.
In Plymouth Meeting.
They said they'll sanitize the attractions, including high frequency touch points, play areas, and the actual Lego bricks.
Is that worth a damn? It's
so cute.
It's always a home run for kids, right?
They actually have a great play area there that the kids love to go on. Yeah, it's like a big ship.
Be ready to spend some money, though. It's not cheap to go.
I have to just pretend I'm with a kid so I can go buy stuff.
They make you pay.
So speaking of,
I'm like, I have to pay to go in there where my children are to do the playing. You make $30.
I remember when you went and you were like, it cost me this much for three of us.
Oh, listen, that's how I felt when my kids were really little going to amusement parks, like Wonderland Pier down in Ocean City. And, you know, like I have to pay tickets to sit on this stupid ladybug ride just to make sure that my child doesn't fall out. You're going to charge me three tickets for this? Uh-huh. That's ridiculous.
You're going into the park.
I mean,
when you go into the Safari Great Adventure, it's by person, not by carload.
Oh, wow. So they count the people in your car?
Yeah, so it's not cheap to do that either.
Okay.
Do they check trunks?
No. And that's where they keep the monkeys.
Yeah. Diggerland reopens on July
2nd. Diggerland!
Open someday. Someday we'll get there.
And you know, with all of these places that are opening, Sesame right here in Langhorne, according to their website, Sesame remains closed with no date listed for reopening. So that I don't know about.
That's weird. You'd figure they'd be able to open the other places.
Well, technically,
they might just be being really cautious,
right?
Man,
and that's the thing. Like, there are some places that are just choosing themselves to remain closed right now.
Yeah. Hey, so when you talk about like sanitizing and all that stuff, have we talked about this? I don't even know, you know, how this works, but there's like a sanitizing fog. You guys familiar with this?
Oh, yeah, my gym is doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
They go in with, like, a big machine, and it fogs. And didn't they do our studio?
Yeah, they've used the same thing in the studio.
They did it with a fog?
The great thing about the coronavirus, no, one of the things that is, it can be quickly killed in that fogging mist, in that disinfectant fogging mist.
Hmm.
So that's why they do it. They do it at gyms, and it's a weird device. It kind of looks like a portable fog machine you use at a rock concert.
Well, it also seems like, you know, it's a quicker way to do it. You know, you can just go in, kind of zap it, fog it all down. And
I always keep one running in my car while I'm driving. It makes it a little difficult to see, but I feel good about it.
Yeah, I don't know how those things work. I don't know how if you have to do it and let it settle for a while or
this what, is like what the story is. The old mosquito trucks like back in the day. You guys remember they used to spray down the streets of mosquito
trucks? It was just
a
couple of years ago, Case. Yeah. They just come down and spray for the West Nile virus.
Yeah. Like, oh, great. Chemicals in the air.
Those right are the good old neighborhood. Remember when you look back fondly on the West Nile virus.
Yeah. Well, I guess it was Antez used to tell me. They used to just, the kids would follow them because it smelled so good. They liked the way the chemicals, they would just.
The guy in my neighborhood used to give us cones so we could lick it. Yeah, it actually did smell sort of pleasant. I'm sure it wasn't the kind of thing you should be inhaling all the time.
Nick pulled up. There's drive-in theaters are opening up as well. So there are a few. There were some calls coming in saying that as well. So you have to check the local drive-ins and find out what their restrictions are.
What's the one in? Is it Mahoning?
Yeah, that's the one I pulled up. Mahoning Drive-In. It's MahoningDIT.com, and they are open.
They do film festivals. They did, I think, a zombie one last weekend that was really cool.
Is that what they
did? The Reanimator and a couple others.
Okay.
There's also one in Jersey, the Delsey Drive-In.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many drive-ins are there in the area now? And I know there's what basically pop-up drive-ins.
There's one near in Lehigh Valley that we go to, and it's
Schenkweiler.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
What's the name?
Schenkweiler.
Okay.
Oh, Steve.
I believe the name of it is.
Delsey's got Jaws, Jurassic Park, Followed, and Infamous. I don't know the other two.
Wow.
But you could go see a quadruple feature on the 24th. Oh, shoot, that's last
week.
They're
doing four of them in one shot?
But this
last week, you could go see all four of them.
The ones coming up, Zootopia, Avengers, My Spy.
I love Zootopia.
Well, there you go, Kat.
That's such a good movie.
And Knives Out.
And Knives Out.
Okay.
And they're going to do a Garth Brooks concert 3 days ago.
All right,
do four movies in one day. It doesn't even get dark till freaking 9 o'clock right now.
You stay the next morning.
4 o'clock in the morning.
I actually did a triple feature at a drive-in one time.
And, really?
Yeah, and it was fun. It was all junk movies. The longest time I spent in the theater was for a thing called Go Ape for a Day, where they showed all the Planet of the Apes.
How many?
Planet of the Apes. Escape from Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
Right? Beneath the Planet of the Apes. Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Revenge of the Apes, Apes in Paradise.
Yes.
Right.
Hey, on Friday at Delsey, they're going to do Ghostbusters. 1984's Ghostbusters.
Okay.
So they got some cool stuff coming up.
I'm wondering if people are hanging on to, like, they have an idea of something to do and they're just not telling anybody.
I think a lot of people are doing that.
Want people to know to take the idea, what I mean?
Yeah, and then make it crowded.
Like,
yeah.
We made a pact on the show to not tell everyone about our super special space ride that we're going to take.
That's right.
It's going to be cool, though.
I feel like there was something that I wanted. I was like, I don't think I want to tell anybody about this one until I do.
I can see that. I mean, honestly, if it's something you hope to go to and not be inundated, but I think we just listen. The Queen of Activities just gave us a whole roster of stuff to do.
Oh, guess what? Delsey's got two screens. So one section is for kids and the other's for adults. So that's how they're able to do four.
They have
movies.
Porn stuff.
No. Not porn.
Hey,
no.
Somebody called in and asked if you have to wear face masks on the rides. So, like Six Flags, they don't mention face masks at all. But Hershey Park says on like specific rides, you'll have to wear them. They're not, you know, completely detailed in if you'll have to wear them on.
My guess is on coasters and things where spit could come out of your mouth and go backwards.
But do you know how many masks are going to fly off, especially the ones that just connect on the ears?
Right.
And that's going to be the next industry for these parks, which is recycled masks available now at our mask store.
Rochelle got me a mask. It's the buff type, Casey.
Yes.
And Steve, it's the bottom half of Iron Man's mask.
Oh, I love that.
It's pretty cool. I just, do have to admit, I like it.
Can I thank someone? Marissa, do you have that
Paige, the gentleman sent me a... I talked about the Planet of the Apes mask. And this guy's name is Chuck Donaldson. He sent me the mask, and it is literally the bottom part of a chimp face.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I hear.
Yes, I care.
Dude.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing. It's awesome. I think it's on our social media if you want to see it. But, yeah, I love stuff like that.
Hang on a second here. Anonymous caller on the line has a comment. Hi, you're on the air, anonymous caller.
Hey, I got my life jerket and my son Blurk in Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan is wonderful this time of year. But he's right to wear your life jerket.
Yeah. That was a day I was having. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the safari because a lot of people realize, like, now, obviously, you can't ride in the safari vehicles, so you get to go through with your cars. And the monkeys are not able to climb on your cars like they used to. Everybody's freaking out like, oh, cool, the monkeys can climb on the cars again. Not the case. You got to wait in line, and it takes hours to get through it. Like you said, I live 2 miles from that place. It's an absolute disaster.
But people are going through. Now what are they? How do they keep the monkeys off your car? Do they have snipers?
All of them are in. When we were little, they were allowed to climb in your car. We used to feed them French fries out of the sunroof in the minivan.
Yeah. So they have the monkeys are now sequestered. Basically, are they behind like in a cage?
They're kind of in an open area, but it's like a cage, like around your car. Like you can't crawl on your vehicles and rip your wipers off because, as Preston stated, it is kind of hard to get your wipers put back on if you don't know what you're doing.
Yes, exactly. True. Yeah.
By the way, Steve, the snipers just shoot at their feet. They don't actually take them out, so they scare them back.
The monkey hopping onto a Prius.
So it takes a while, you're saying, to go through.
Yeah, and it backs up onto like the major highways and stuff, and it's just a really big mess. So, you know, try and call ahead because I know people from far away come out through Great Adventure. It's been that way my whole life.
Yeah.
So just prepare because you could spend literally your entire day just waiting.
That's sage advice, but if you've been chomping at the bit, as so many people have been, to get out and experience something and have some fun, you know, plan on that. Have games to play or whatever. But, yeah, that I've always loved doing that, you know, drive through the...
But the monkeys were a really good part when they like, destroy the outside of the car and pull the things off.
Hey, side note, because you live in that area, is there a White Castle near you?
There's one on Route 9, and it's always open, and the line is never long.
Okay, cool. Good to know. Thank you.
This just in, White Castle located near Great Adventure. We go now to Jimmy Glashevsky. Jim, is there in fact a White Castle?
Yes, there is, and they serve square burgers.
Thank you, Jim.
Does that help inform your decision to go there?
No, it does not. I just want to get to a White Castle, and sometimes you can't necessarily trust your map feature on your
phone. Or WhiteCastleFinder.com.
Is there a WhiteCastleFinder.com?
I don't know. There probably is. Yeah. I would imagine White Castle has a website that will tell you where their locations are, so you could do that, too. Yeah. All right, well, anyhow...
A lot of the places are doing touchless temperature screenings prior to walking into some of the theme parks.
Okay. Yeah.
I had one done last night, and it just, they hold it a few inches from your head, and then if you're good to go, you walk in. If not, they'll turn you around.
Where did you go for this?
Oh, what? You can't tell?
I can tell.
What?
Someone's brows are rocking.
You know what? I was going to say something.
I can't believe you guys have not said anything yet.
I knew it. I just didn't
notice your brows, Kath. I was kind of distracted by them, to be honest, when you were talking.
Angry. Very.
Sure enough.
I thought you looked really angry.
I was going to ask if you went to see the king.
No, I didn't. I didn't go see the king.
She is angry.
I am angry.
F the king, did you go to
Ashley? I went to Ashley, yes.
Ashley, these look awesome.
Yeah. I did. I went to Ashley.
Right. I have no eyebrows, and I'd gladly sit there and let Ashley work on me.
Ashley
could give me a root canal with no Novocaine, and I'll sit there for it.
I'm going to post a picture so everyone can see who did my eyebrows yesterday. I walked in, and even I was like, God, you look so good.
Yeah.
You had to see what she was wearing.
Ashley Gallo is one of our calendar girls.
Like the lowest cut pink snakeskin shirt. Like, and she's doing my eyebrows. So I'm looking directly at her boobs for like a good hour.
She looks like as Preston rightly pointed out, like a Marvel heroine.
She has the dimensions of a female superhero from the
the golden age of the Marvel Super.
Well, I say F the King and stick with Ashley.
I think I'm going to. Yeah. Okay. And by the way, she's AMG Beauty Bar, and she's in, I think it's West Narton or Jeffersonville, but she just reopened. So,
which is great because, again, she had to be closed down as well. And that's her dream business that she put together.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, I was there for a while, as you can see in my eyebrows. Yeah.
they're totally on fleek.
No, and she's... Thank you. I appreciate that. By the way, this will lessen. I just didn't wash them yet.
Okay. And I have to mention her next door neighbor there. Next to her shop is Creeble's Bakery.
Yes.
And Colleen is the one who's done, like, for our mass wedding at the Camp Out for Hunger, she did the cake and for our baby reveal and all that stuff.
Yeah, she told me that you were in there, and I guess she saw you one day walking out, I guess, a while ago. And and so she called your name. But
An hour to get your eyebrows
Casey,
done?
So I was the last appointment. We were chatting. It was a little bit longer probably than it normally should be. But yeah, I was there for a good hour. But I'm going to put a picture of Ashley up so you can see what she was wearing.
Hey, there's an activity for you right there.
Yeah.
Go get your eyebrows done.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even if you have no head, go there.
Anything else that we're adding to this list of Corona activities?
That's a pretty comprehensive list.
It's pretty good.
I like that. The thing is, seek stuff. You'll be surprised at what might be open.
Get outside.
And be smart about it.
We have zero, you know, 4th of July plans. Like, none. We haven't even talked about it at
that. How about the Boulder Field? You ever been there? Kathy and I were just talking about it a little earlier.
Which one?
The one up in near Hickory Run. On the way to Jack Frost.
Oh, yeah. You hang a left instead of a right?
Because
there's one that way.
You got to kind of wind around back underneath the Northeast Extension. But it's Kathy went to Ringing Rocks not that long ago, which is really cool, and posted a picture up on her Instagram account. And
I can't stop looking at your eyebrows.
I know.
Jesus, like 2 hours without noticing them, and now you look like Bert.
I noticed immediately, but I...
How could you not?
But sometimes people don't want to blurt that out, so I figured... Yeah.
Listen, with us, really? Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
Let me go back to the Ringing Rocks, or the boulders, which ties in with Ashley, boulders. Yeah. Anyway, did you see any of that, like... spiders or snakes that live in those things?
I did not. Kathy,
you know that?
No, but like afterwards, I went and I was completely fine with it. You know, I went with my friend and we had some kids with us, and so yeah, you know, we were making sure everybody was okay. They didn't break an ankle. We brought the hammers. We were banging on the rocks. We walked down to the little waterfall and then got home, looked at the pictures, and I was like, oh my God, there were probably so many snakes in there.
Yeah.
Like I thought about it afterwards, and thank God it was
big-ass spiders, too. Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah. There's also a boulder field in, like, Hawk Mountain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a field there. I think Hawk Mountain's open. And Steve, the...
There's a sound bite.
the one in Lititz, the Wolf Sanctuary you were asking about earlier, that looks like it's open as well. But I would check.
All right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to go see some damn wolves. I want to get out in nature.
You can find some things to do that will entertain the family and keep everybody safe as well. And please wear your mask and keep in mind that's for other people.
And listen, if it helps keep the businesses open and keeps people keeps people confident, that's it. Because, again, these businesses have been waiting to open up. Let's not have a backward slide.
And cover your nose with it, too. I see a lot of that going on. All right, let's take a break and come back in a second because bizarre file stories aplenty when we return on the Preston and Steve Show.
What's new?
Why do you ask?
Godsmack. The Killers. Billy Joe Armstrong.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
All right, we shall do the Bizarre File right now.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
All right, B-File this morning brought to you by HERS, the official chip taking your summer to the next level. And when it comes to snacking this summer, keep it Philly, and make it HERS. HERS forever good. All right, we're coming out swinging here.
All right,
ready for this?
Let her rip. Let's go.
A Chinese boy has had a 5-foot-long cable cord removed from his bladder by surgeons after the metal wire was stuck inside his body for about 5 years.
Jeez.
The 10-year-old boy named Doo-Doo.
Well, there you go.
Had inserted the metal wire into his penis out of boredom.
Oh, my God.
All the way in, into his penis.
According to the child's father.
They don't have video games.
That's what Doo-Doo did.
Doo-Doo done did that.
The incident came to light when the youngster was rushed to the hospital after he started peeing blood.
Oh, my God.
It had been in there for 5 years.
5 years.
Oh, my God.
The boy is said to have recovered after undergoing an emergency operation, removed the power cable at a children's hospital in Nanchang.
They said the kid always appeared wired.
Oh! Doo-Doo's parents recently took their son to seek medical attention after the boy found blood in his urine and had difficulties peeing. The child underwent an emergency surgery after the doctors spotted a foreign object inside Doo-Doo's bladder on an X-ray scan. Footage shows a medic pulling out the cable cord from the youngster's bladder after surgically opening up the youngster's belly.
How bored do you have to be to do that?
Dr. Raul, a urologist who led the operation, said, "We've removed a lot of foreign objects, but we've never seen cases like this before. We're very, very shocked, just unimaginable." After the operation, Doo-Doo confessed to his parents that he had inserted the metal cord about 5 years ago out of boredom. So, this is Doo-Doo Brown, by the way. That's the song. Doo-Doo's father said that it was around 2015 or 2016 when he put it in. The kid said that he was bored and he put it in there himself.
I'm sorry, bored is not an excuse for that. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you cross your legs.
Yeah.
Doo-doo.
You're all over the place.
I know.
Doo-doo feces is what I was looking for.
Okay.
All right.
My goodness.
I keep writing down stuff for sound effects.
Doo-doo feces, of course.
We got Doo-doo Brown. We got the doo-doo. But listen, I wasn't able to write it all down.
There was doo-doo feces thrown all over the walls.
He got it.
Pay dirt.
The parent added, but he never told us about it. We had absolutely no idea. Now, Dr. Rao said that similar cases are not unheard of. He said we see about 20 to 30 cases like this every year among children aged 4 to 10.
Are you kidding me?
Not 5-foot-long cables, yes. But they're putting stuff up in there.
Is that not painful?
It's got to be painful.
I mean, I've had a catheter once in my life, and it wasn't painful. I was out, but the notion of doing that while I was awake to myself?
Yes.
No.
Agreed. All right, undergoing surgery or cosmetic procedures of any kind can come up with a number of risks, but you ending up with a square head probably isn't one that you would expect. Unfortunately, a young woman claimed she experienced this very thing after getting her face done, that's what she said, and was left with temporary swelling and bruising resulting in a square face.
She looked like SpongeBob?
Not quite like SpongeBob, and actually the tweets and so forth responding said she looked like Lord Farquaad.
Oh, yeah.
Which she does.
Really? Oh, man. Yes. That's unfortunate.
She said that Sophia Marquin is her name. A 19-year-old from Australia shared a clip on TikTok revealing her new look after undergoing what's called a Kybella treatment. The procedure, which is a non-surgical injection technique used to reduce excess fat beneath the chin, left her face extremely swollen and puffy, resulting in her usually pointy chin appeared to be completely square.
And they say it's guaranteed to make you look like your favorite Shrek character.
In the clip, she said, "Yep, so just got some lovely needles into my face. My family has absolutely no idea what I've just done, and I'm about to get the reaction." Jeez. Up first was her dad, who gasped at the sight of his daughter in disbelief. "Oh, my goodness," he said, with his mouth, hand over his mouth. And his wife reacted the same way. Her sister walked in and reacted in possibly the best way. After seeing her face, she ran through the house in fits of laughter before dropping on the floor in shock.
That's what a sister's supposed to do.
And her best friend, however, this is the way I think, this is the best friend's reaction. She approached her front door. Sophia's family at the home proceeded with caution, admitted that she was scared of her by her new look.
It's a pretty austere...
Yeah, Nick's got a picture of it on the monitor over there if you want to see her. So it's ranked up about 3.6 million views so far. Yeah.
I will say her eyebrows look pretty good, Kath.
They do? Yep. I was actually looking at them.
Many others expressed their confusion as well. Some not only said it was Lord Farquaad, but that she looked like Buzz Lightyear as well.
Oh, man.
Is that a desirable look for most young women?
The Kybella is an FDA-approved treatment, and some common side effects include pain, swelling, bruising, redness, and numbness. She has yet to show a final reveal as swelling still persists.
So God almighty.
We'll see how that turns out, yeah. Let's see here. Walkers are relieving themselves on the grounds of Queen Elizabeth's Scottish residence. And by relieving themselves, I mean they're taking dumps on the royal
land. Queen Elizabeth?
That is correct.
What's all this crap here?
Employees at Balmoral Castle, which the Queen frequently visits for holidays throughout the year, have complained about wet wipes being left on the estate.
Oh, my God.
And urged people not to use the spot as an outdoor toilet.
What a lovely day for us. For stroll. What is that smell?
Most public facilities are closed in the United Kingdom due to the country's lockdown, but people are allowed to exercise and socialize outside.
Yeah.
Leading many to seek quiet public places if nature calls during a day out.
But you crap there?
The staff at Balmoral wrote, disappointed to see so many wipes discarded on the estate today, not next to paths and monuments. Please remember, there are no public toilets open for miles around at the moment. Part of the problem is that we are seeing a lot of non-biodegradable wipes being discarded in the countryside. They also wrote, as people are choosing to relieve themselves right next to busy paths or monuments, rather than move a little bit further away to avoid contamination. But the castle acknowledges that people may need to relieve themselves while walking around the royal estate. And they said, if you need to pee, please do so at least 30 meters from locks or streams.
Wait, you got to know the metric system as well.
If you need to defecate, do so as far away as possible from buildings, paths, watercourses, and farm animals. Bury feces in a shallow hole and replace the turf. They actually wrote this.
That's what it's come to. And don't you dare crap near an animal.
Hot weather in recent days has prompted many Britons to visit beaches, parks, and patches of countryside around the country.
Wow.
The Queen and members of the family spend several weeks each year at
watching
the 50,000-acre estate in the Scottish Highlands. She has spent most of Britain's lockdown in another royal estate at Windsor near London.
It's a beautiful, as you would well imagine, estate. It's amazing. So the notion of taking a dump at the location is... it's kind of horrifying.
One last story, and I'm going to run out of music here, but I want to put this in anyway. A suspected drunk driver smashed his vehicle into a Chevron gas station in Seebeck, Washington on Sunday morning and then drove away from the scene. But he did make it to Sesame Street, where he abandoned his damaged SUV and ran off into the woods. Heiko was brought into the scene and tracked down the suspect in the woods, and it didn't take long, just off of Sesame Street. Deputies learned that it was the driver's fifth DUI within 10 years and booked into the county jail for investigation.
Down on Sesame Street.
Of multiple charges, including felony DUI. Yes, it all happened on Sesame Street. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file this morning. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. See what else we can get into on this morning that we share together on the Preston and Steve Show. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick shout out. This is from Frank Buck.
Frank Buck, that's a cool name.
Frank says, please need a shout out to my daughter, Ann Gorski, on June 30th. That's today.
Oh, man.
For her birthday, we both have been to Keenan's every year on the Friday before Memorial Day since you started. Love you guys. So could we give a short birthday? There you go. So happy birthday to you. Sorry that we didn't get a chance to do it this year, but that means we'll just have to do it twice as hard next year.
I don't know if we'd survive that.
I don't know if we could either. I don't know. We'll see.
It's borderline lethal every time we do it.
As we are heading into a holiday weekend, I'm sure if you can be outside, some music will be a part of the equation if you're, you know, hanging with the family or whatever you may be doing. And I saw this list. The readers of Classic Rock magazine have voted for the 100 greatest songs. I'm a fan of lists like these. I don't ever agree with lists like these, but they're kind of fun to take a look at.
It's the whole purpose.
Music.
Get a conversation going. Yeah, because for the most part, I agree. I seldom agree with these lists.
Yeah, but, you know, since the title is Classic Rock magazine, you can tell that the songs are going to be of an older nature.
If
so
you say We've Got Tonight is number one, I'm going to die. I'm going to die.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, Nick. Steve, no, you're not going to get it. So they have their top 25 in this particular segment of the article that I have. So I thought it might be kind of fun to go through.
All right, yeah.
And see what you guys think. Might be number one.
What's number one?
All the way to the list.
On the list for the morning show.
So I'll start to just rattle these off. We don't have to spend a lot of time with each and every one of them because there are a lot. But number 25 is Born to Run.
Yeah.
Number 24 is More Than a Feeling from Boston.
I love Boston.
Me too.
Yeah.
Always. It's a guilty pleasure.
Absolutely.
Boston has gotten beaten up over the years, but you can't help but sing along when you hear the songs from that.
They've gotten so beaten up. Had they been named Little Rock, I wonder. Right?
Have they been named Little Rock?
If there's another city name.
Oh, smaller than
Boston. I think
there's
an actual, an honest aggression towards Boston.
Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, you can't deny the lure of this song. It's a great tune. It's a great single.
Tom Schultz, is that his name?
Yeah, he's a guitarist and head honcho in the band. And the lead singer was Brad Delp, who killed himself several years ago, unfortunately. Then he had Don't Fear the Reaper from Blue Oyster Cult.
Great song.
Okay.
It's also in one of the greatest horror movies ever made, Halloween.
Yes, and it's also featured prominently in The Stand as well, in the book, in the novel. So here's one from Rainbow, and why do I not know this song? Stargazer from Rainbow?
I'm not familiar. Huh. Stargazer.
And that beats out More Than a Feeling and a bunch of these others. Do we even have that in the system?
No, we don't even have that in the system.
You've got to be kidding me. I don't know that song. Okay. Then we'll just take it on that.
We'll see if we can find it.
Number 21 is Whole Lot of Rosie from AC/DC.
It's about Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah. Wow. Great. Whole lot of Rosie.
Unbelievable.
Okay. No.
You have to take me to SuperSave tomorrow because I have a sale.
I'm trying to reserve judgment on any of these songs because I don't know if there are other songs by the same band elsewhere on the list.
You know what? I'm looking on the list here, Nick, and I only see one other one from AC/DC making its way up to number one. But what I don't see is Back in Black or Shook Me All Night Long.
Oh, those are far more classic.
I would think so, right? Okay.
It's a stupid list.
Let's keep moving.
We're out.
Number 20 is Day in the Life from the Beatles.
Okay.
Yeah.
A great song.
Masterpiece. Yeah.
Number 19 is War Pigs from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can we go back to the Beatles real quick? Because I was listening to to Abbey Road not that long ago, and the medley on the second side, on side B, is that... I know it's divided up into a bunch of different songs on the record, but would you consider that one song?
I would.
I do.
Okay.
But technically, I guess it wouldn't be.
It's like four or five.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I consider it one song.
Me too. All right.
And if they've ever played just a part of it, there have been times throughout radio airplay where like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I used to, I disliked about when CD changers, when CDs were a fairly new technology, and when you would have CD changers, and a song like that or songs that bleed in together, although they're technically separate tracks, it would skip over the second one. And I'm like, and move to something
else.
Son
of a bitch.
And sometimes it'll even happen on digital playlists.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens all the time. And
I can't
understand
that. How do you find a version where it's like, these two songs will be played together every single time?
There's a Joe Jackson album that was recorded live in front of an audience, and it was done. But the whole deal is the audience didn't applaud. They just performed it for them. They got the acoustics right, and it goes from one song right into the other. And that's the way I like to hear it. On a CD, though, it stops, and if you get it as an MP3 or whatever sort of audio file, it does the separation. You can't listen to it straight through the way it was meant to be heard.
So the Amazon Echo, which I have at home, sometimes I'll pick an artist to put on and you know, just shuffle and whatever, just go through a bunch of songs. And when I ask for the Beatles, if they play Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, it'll go, you know, Billy Sheen, bling de bling de bling, and then go to the next song. It won't go into A Little Help from My Friends.
Right.
You can't do that to me.
You can't.
That's part of the freaking song.
Yeah.
And I think Apple needs to do a better job of, like, just even giving you that option as, you know, the owner of the music or
to
whatever.
To stitch it together,
to
so
stitch
to speak.
It together, yes. Yeah.
You know who'll never do that to you?
Who?
WMMR.
That's right. No, we won't.
Never.
Jack.
Never. Yeah, Jack.
This is America, Jack.
Jack.
All right, so Day in the Life's number 20, War Pigs number 19. Number 18 is The Boys Are Back in Town from Thin Lizzy.
I love that song.
I love its cheesiness. I love the whole concept of, you know, we fell about the place and this dumb story that they're relaying.
Got up and she slapped Johnny's face.
Ugh.
However, I don't think it's better than More Than a Feeling or
No,
A Day
not.
In the Life.
But this is stupid.
List, stupid list.
But it gives us something to fight about.
Yeah.
That's what really was. It's everything.
Yes. Isn't that what we want in life?
We
something
want
to fight about.
And stress because everything else is so peaceful and calm in our world.
Yeah. Number 17 is We Will Rock
number
You.
Number 17.
Oh, my God.
We number have, 17.
We have number 17.
That's
when
where
did
it
we
starts.
Get that?
Yeah. I had no idea.
Number 17.
Misha, can I ask you a question? Do we have them all the way down to number one?
We do not.
Oh, okay.
We got a 17, a 10, a 6, and a 4.
Yeah, we just have
that's
random
great.
Numbers.
It's like
for
playing
some
craps.
Yeah.
I think Marissa found out it was because those are the only ones that they would do it for.
We don't have a countdown. We have lottery number selection.
No, come on.
Yeah, something.
Casey like had to have had every number if he
absolutely.
Would have wanted it. That's right.
I remember saying every number at some point in time.
Yeah. All right, so
at number 1,176,422.
Yeah. Number 16 is Layla. That one, back in the day in the radio station I grew up listening to when they would do, like, the Memorial Day Rock and Roll 500.
The countdown.
It was either going to be Layla or Stairway to Heaven.
Always.
And
always.
Sometimes there was one other one. But
Freebird.
Freebird, that's it.
Yeah.
Those are the three.
Those are the three.
Absolutely.
This song, to me, is better than Freebird. It's better than Stairway to Heaven.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, my only personal.
I understand.
This is stupid.
Written about who was George Harrison's wife at the time.
Patty Boyd, right?
Patty Boyd, and it was written about her by Eric Clapton, and he ended up marrying her.
And they remained best of friends.
Absolutely.
How do you work that one?
All through their lives.
We can learn a lot from that. I don't know what, but we can learn a lot.
Layla is number 16. Number 15, All Along the Watchtower from Jimi Hendrix.
Great song.
It is.
Better than the original.
One of those rare occasions the cover was better than the original.
And I can't imagine Benny.
I agree. Even he liked it.
He's
better.
Got more bones.
So
ging, 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 ging. That part I like it.
Everybody sing along.
Sing that. Ging, 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 ging.
Classic Rock Magazine. The readers have posted the top rock songs of all time. Okay, so number 14 is "Gimme Shelter" from Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Great song.
That is a great tune. And that's the one. You know, I kind of dismiss the Stones, not as I don't like the Stones.
You just think they're useless and unnecessary.
I'm not saying that at all.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm saying they're a great band, but I don't hold them in high as regard as, say, Jackie Bam Bam or Pierre does as the greatest rock band of all time. But the moment that I start to listen to music, I'm like, yeah, amazing.
You appreciate them.
Yes.
And that's the way I feel. So seeing them in concert, as I did, you know, recently when they were at the Link, again, it's what I wanted to see. I don't ever really put on Stones music, but when I hear it, I always get into it.
So that's number 14. Number 13 is Shine On You Crazy Diamond from Pink Floyd.
It's an interesting choice because it's a good song. It's just not one that I would put There's so many more Pink Floyd songs I'd pop into the top.
There is another one coming up.
All right.
So
if it's money, I'm going to kill myself.
No, it's right. not. But it's the one I was thinking of, and I was like, oh, yeah, sure enough, it's there. Are we playing a little bit of Shine On You Crazy Diamond?
Yeah, it's there.
Let's just play the whole thing.
Why not? It's only 13 minutes and 27
play the
seconds,
whole Animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Then you have Sweet Child of Mine from Guns N' Roses. It is a great tune. It's
great hook, great everything.
And the thing about it is it can be a hard rock tune, but it can also be a tender, beautiful song.
It can also be a song that you sing with your family in your RV as you're traveling over to see your stepbrother.
That's great. That is a great scene.
It's unbelievably
good. It's the best. When she starts singing and he's just berating her the whole time.
Come on.
So this is number 12 on this list. Number 11 is Whole Lotta Love from Led Zeppelin. Want a whole lotta love?
Meow. This is a song where they go,
meow. Yeah. Are we playing it? Oh, here it is.
This is...
You need cooler.
Baby, I'm a fooler. Yep.
So in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, obviously they make a reference to a Zeppelin side to listen to for romance. If you were to put on a Zeppelin song for sex, what would you put on?
Cashmere.
Yeah, that's what I would too.
Yep, it's got the right tempo to it.
Yeah.
You
throw your back out with anything else.
So Whole Lotta Love is number 11 on this list. Number 10 is...
Number 10.
I forgot we had that. Won't Get Fooled Again from The Who.
Yeah. This is a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm. And used very well in CSI, kind of, actually. Not that it ever really waned in its popularity, but may have turned on to some fans who weren't familiar
Perhaps
with the song.
He should have been wearing a life jerket. Right?
Jerket.
Yep.
Won't Get Fooled Again is number 10 on this list. So now we're in the top 10. Number 9 is Highway to Hell from AC/DC. And so that beats out Whole Lotta Rosie, which was 21, the only other AC/DC song.
You're going to take me to Superstay tomorrow because I have a sale. Toilet seat assistance is number 1. Thank you.
I recommend if you're learning to play the drums and you eventually get to a level where I'm like, okay, I'm going to play to a song now. This is the song you want to play to. It is quite possibly the easiest rock song to play on the drum.
Weren't you going
to
teach Kathy how to play this?
I could teach Kathy to play this song note for note, no problem.
Really?
Yes. And I wanted to do it for Camp Out for Hunger.
Oh, yeah,
so
I remember
you could play on stage. We could still do it.
Okay.
All right, so eventually we'll get around to doing that.
All right, so Back in Black is not in the top 20 here.
No.
And so Whole Lotta Rosie's better than Back in Black.
That's what this...
I disagree.
That's according to the readers of Classic Rock magazine,
And Classic Rock has been, you know, sort of a definitive magazine, and though I'm having issues here, man.
Yeah. Number 8, Tom Sawyer from Rush.
Tom Sawyer.
I'm going with that. Tom Sawyer. I'm sorry, I mispronounced it. So I'm cool with that. When my boys end up in the top 10, I'm very happy with that.
I'm going to throw it out there. You don't have to bite, but I'm going to throw it out.
Mm.
Greatest Rush song of all time. Go!
Velociraptor. you know what? It was Captain Dale, I think, who asked me what my favorite Rush song was.
Velociraptor.
I had to stop and think about it for a minute. And I think because of the journey that you take in the song and the musical journey and so forth and the length of it, I would have to go with Xanadu as my favorite Rush song. But for the public, this is the greatest Rush song that there is, absolutely. All right, so Tom Sawyer's number 8. Number 7, now we get into the iconic songs.
Yeah.
All right.
Smoke on the Water is number 7. And considered the greatest or most recognizable guitar riff of all time. And we had a special version that Casey played.
Yes.
If you remember. I don't know if you still have that.
I do. Well, give me a second.
Casey, you have misspelled smoke like 5 times.
A million times.
Smike,
I'm so friggin' mad right now.
Right now it's at smock.
Smock on the water.
That's how you pull these songs.
Smock on the water?
You have to enter them into a search bar, and I saw smilk. Smock.
Smart.
Smock.
It was smike on the water, because I and O are right next to each
smike.
Other.
All right, so now we have smoke on the water.
I'll find that.
Yeah. Richie Blackmore. Wrote an iconic guitar riff, and it still lives on to this day. All right.
That was an air hose between your ass cheeks.
One more time. Keep going.
Dude. Now that's rock.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
All right. So that's number seven on the list. Number six is hotel.
Number six.
At number six.
Number six is Hotel California.
All right. Where do you consider that in the Eagles pantheon?
The number one.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I do. Song.
I was obsessed with this song in 1992 and 93. I was obsessed with it.
Sometimes this would end up as number one on the classic rock countdown.
You're right.
Ahead of the others, you know, the ones you mentioned, Stairway and Freebird.
Yeah, these are all kind of interchangeable once we get up into this part. Because number four on the list, Steve, is Kashmir from Led Zeppelin.
Oh, great song.
Number four.
At number four, it's Kashmir.
And here's how stupid this is. It says Kashmir, Led Zeppelin, 1985.
It's a stupid list.
That didn't come out in 1985.
No. That was their last album was... What was their last album?
1980? 79? Yeah. What was it, Nick?
Yeah, 80, I believe. And this came out in 75.
Okay.
You skipped number five.
Oh, I'm sorry. Number five is Freebird.
Ah.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, these are the ones that you're always going to see in the top. So,
Better version, do you prefer the live version or the studio version?
I like the studio version, you know. I mean, I don't know. I heard it so much that that's the one that's a little bit nearer and dearer to me. But the live one's great. What song is it you all want to hear?
Yeah.
Yep.
We would like to hear Freebird, please. Yeah, I was just saying that rhetorically. What does that mean?
Rhetorically is a tough word.
What does that mean?
That word you used, what does that mean? Forget it.
Move on. Play the song.
Alright, then you had Kashmir and then Comfortably Numb from Pink Floyd.
Yeah, I love this song.
This is three?
This is number three.
And written at the Spectrum, right?
Yep. That was the word, yeah, backstage. That it was at least part of it was.
Want to see if there's anyone in the bathroom?
Was written
is
at
there
the.
Anybody in there? I really have to go. I've been holding it in quite long.
It's a masterpiece.
And it never fails. If you're driving along and you let it all play out, it'll make you tear up.
Yep. And then number two is Stairway to Heaven, which many times ends up as number one.
It's not my favorite Led Zeppelin song.
No. Nope, and you know what? In fact, it's automatic tune out for me. Like the second I hear it, I'm like, God, I've heard this so much. And then one time I was like, okay, sit through it and listen to the whole thing again, because it's been ages since you actually listened to the whole song. And it was outstanding when I stopped and just listened to it for a while.
Live version or studio version?
I like studio version, I guess. Yeah.
Does anybody remember laughter?
That part
I remember laughter.
No, that was a rhetorical question.
That was a rhetorical. Out of hell.
Well, I didn't really want an answer.
Play the damn song.
Yes, you were asking. I do remember laughter. I laughed in the parking lot as we were walking in. What is with these people?
Hey, you're just supposed to respond with.
That's like, I'm just, hey, like. Part A! Does it require a response? When would you like us to party? No, it's just... What happened? Man!
All right, and the main reason I brought this up is the number one, which has gained a lot more popularity in the past few years because of a certain movie that came out. Bohemian Rhapsody is number one on this list from Classic Rock Magazine of 100 greatest songs. So I'd put it up there.
Which classic song? What I love about the MMR mix is that we're active rock, so all of this stuff gets its due, airtime with new stuff.
Yes.
Of this cluster, which classic rock artist will you actively, besides Rush, put music on
most often?
Yeah.
All right, let me look back at the list, because lately I've been putting on things like Supertramp and recently the Doobie Brothers, because we were talking about them.
Yeah.
And Elton John.
Steely Dan for me, I guess.
Steely Dan is another one that I'll pull up a library from. Because
The Who ends up quite often. I'll pop up that like Won't Get Fooled Again and Bob O'Reilly.
Carter, the other day we were getting ready to make dinner. He's like, Dad, why don't you put on some music? I'm like, ooh, okay. And I was just like, let me think about it. What haven't I put on? Well, so I put on Van
Siberian
Halen.
Throat Singing. Oh, Van Halen.
Van Halen's a band that I went through with recently. So, but you know what? I need to go back and spend some time with The Who, looking at this list. We're diving into their catalog.
So much great. You know, it's worth loads just putting on material. Just put on the soundtrack to The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah,
that's a great collection.
Who else on here? Sabbath.
I do appreciate Sabbath.
No, I do too. And yeah. But I like a song here and there. But to go down a path of just Sabbath songs, that's a bit much. It gets a bit dark.
I like so. It's funny because the same thing I will laud a particular artist for, I will criticize another art, which is,
right.
Why did you change the style? And then I love artists that do change their style and pull it off. Yeah. So I guess it just depends on what they're able to achieve.
Hey, do you want to hear that Rainbow song, Stargazer?
I do.
Marissa did send that over.
Okay.
I don't think any of us really knew what it was.
Lyrically, it's like Tenacious D.
It's always the same thing.
It's totally out of that stuff.
And the dragon of the night across the flaming sky.
Wait, here's some reverb. Let's hear some reverb in that.
A man weeps alone. His death is on nigh. Time to day the tiller man as he comes across the creek.
Yes.
Stuff that just is pasted together.
Yeah.
It's really copy and paste. Oh, table of contents.
Table of contents. what is this? No, this is lame, Marissa.
In a dark cave, the hungry man screams.
The readers of Classic Rock Magazine have declared this
stupid.
This rock song, the greatest song of the century so far.
Okay, so in the 20s. The 20-aughts.
There's only 80 more years.
Well, this is dumb. The darkness, I believe, in a thing called love.
Oh, they're dumb.
That doesn't make any sense anyway, because that song... Well, did that come out after 2000?
Yeah, it 2004 or something.
If you subscribe to this magazine, cancel your subscription.
Here's the thing about that darkness song. It was such a novelty.
Yeah. It was meant to be a novelty.
Yeah.
And they were
nice enough guys. I met them a couple of times, but I'm like, no, it's not. It ain't legit.
So,
in my mind,
I think. The song?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Do you like that song?
Yeah.
Okay. If I'm going to listen to something like that, I'd rather listen to Steel Panther.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I think it's a good song, and it serves its purpose, but I think there are other artists that have kind of parlayed that sound better. You can't explain all the feelings
that you're making me feel. It's fine. Nah.
My heart's in overdrive. All right, I have a different list that I thought would be another fun music list that actually Casey had brought me to speed on. And, you know, and sometimes there's gazillion lists on YouTube for whatever it may be, movies, music, sports, anything. And a lot of them, some of them I'll go check out and I'll be like, yeah, I'll kind of discount them right away. But this was an interesting category.
Well, since we're in a list mode, let's do it.
Yeah,
and we had a bad taste from that list. Maybe this will reaffirm our faith in life.
No. It is.
No.
Oh, really?
No. Listen, it's a good list, but I think there were definitely some big time omissions.
Okay, so it's the top 20 songs that have an acoustic guitar intro.
Okay.
So very specific.
Interesting. We once talked about songs that have an acoustic piano intro.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm curious to hear this.
What did we come up with?
An ending, like Wildfire, that song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Epic from Faith No More has a little piano outro on it, too.
Layla.
So this is just from a YouTuber who came up with this list. So Casey jotted down the list. I don't know who this guy is, but
PewDiePie.
I thought it might be kind of fun for conversation. But to give you some examples, like number 20 is Free Fallin' from Tom Petty. Guitar.
Love it.
Beautiful, right?
Iconic sound.
Yeah.
One of my favorite Petty songs. One of my favorite Petty videos.
What's in the video? I don't remember.
They're the girl's doing the half pipe,
she's skateboarding.
Skateboarding? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and check that out. But, anyhow, yeah, that's a good one. All right, here's another one for you. Cats in the Cradle.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
I don't have the intro for that one. It's the only intro.
At number 3, it's Cats in the Cradle. About a bad father who then becomes a
bad father, and then his son grows up and treats him like crap.
I guess
he's a horrible person. He's abusive.
It just talks about life getting in the way of those special relationships.
They're horrible people.
That you should. I think about that stuff. I'm like, you know, my daughter lately has been wanting to spend a little bit of time together, and I'm like, I need to make sure that
Savor
I do
it.
That. Absolutely. Because it ain't going to last long.
Well, he's
don't
gotta
let her leave your sight.
No, yes,
glom onto her.
He's got another song called "Father and Son," which I love. It's a regular on my playlist. It seems to me that maybe he had little issues with his own old man.
Probably,
yeah.
And then he did "Daddy Sucks," which was "Daddy Sucks, sucks so bad."
What's a "Taxi"? Is that
that's
the other
great one? Song?
That's a fantastic.
And then
song.
He also did the DJ of WOL.
I don't know.
Nick, can you look on his list of Harry Chapin songs?
WKRP in Cincinnati?
No, but it's a song that's sort of similar. Like,
okay.
But it's a
Wait, are we talking about Harry Chapin or Cat Stevens?
Harry Chapin.
Didn't Cat Stevens do the Father and Son song?
He did, and Harry Chapin did Cats in the Cradle.
I'm lost as to where we are.
No. I messed up. I was the one who brought. Go figure. I was the one who took this train over to the other.
You're
tracks.
Talking about Father and Son, which is a great.
It is a great song.
Great Cat Stevens song.
That's a Cat Stevens song.
It's beautiful.
It's Cat Stevens. Okay.
Cats in the Cradle.
It's not Harry Chapin.
Cats in the Cradle. Cat Stevens.
Cats.
Songs about dads and cats.
Yeah. Stevens.
Yeah.
Harry.
Cradle.
Yeah.
Chapin. Okay, so
let's just move along.
Number 18 on this list is Salisbury Hill. Beautiful intro. Beautiful song.
I would start off every song with an acoustic guitar, even a thrash metal song.
I actually get a little choked up when he says, you know, you can keep my things, they've come to take me home.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
Like, that's the most important thing. I'm going home.
That's it.
I don't care. The rest of this can stay behind. I don't even know what the whole story
is
about.
Just give me my drum set.
But wait a minute. No, don't keep my things. Give me my drum set.
Give me my drum set.
I want my drum set, and then I'm going to go home.
And that's all I need.
That's all I need.
Yeah. And then this phone.
And my GoPros. My GoPros, too.
Yes, because I need to make drum videos.
Yeah.
Before I go home, I have to have those things.
And this?
I've never taken the time to know what this song, to learn what this song is about. Does anybody know?
I used to, and now I don't.
I know that
helps you greatly.
Didn't he used to drive past Salisbury Hill, and he was inspired by it? Like, Peter Gabriel was on a bus, and maybe when he was with Genesis or whatever, but he would drive past this hill quite a bit. DeBella's talked about it on his show, because it used to be.
Well, let's tune over there right now. Maybe he's talking about. Oh, he's on vacation.
Oh.
Damn it.
But anyhow, what did you know about it, Nick?
That it's just a story about the, you know, him growing up and being in this part of England where Salisbury exists.
Okay. So it's number 18 on the list. Number 17 is...
Number 17. At number 17.
I forgot we had number 17.
Maybe we can steal DeBella's numbers.
These are so...
I need a 9, an 8, and a 3.
These are songs that have acoustic guitar intros. Time in a Bottle. Jim Croce.
Time in a Bottle.
That dude was a great musician.
Unbelievable.
Delco's own, right?
Yeah, he is from here, right?
Upper Darby, I believe.
Pat Croce's cousin.
Yeah.
If I could get back to Delco.
The first thing that I'd like to
what
do.
What should he do? First thing he gets back to Delco.
He gotta have a Charlie's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And then smoke some pop out of a bench.
It's a beautiful song.
It is. All right, next is I Stay Away.
Beautiful yeah. song.
Yeah.
God, this is one of my all-time favorites. And the video to it, the claymation.
This Jar of Flies? This album?
Yeah.
I don't remember the video. It was claymation?
Yeah, and there's a circus involved, and there's a fire that starts, and it's really wild.
I love the fact that Alice in Chains has been able to survive as a band, but I miss Lane Staley when it comes to songs like this.
Well, listen to his voice.
Yeah.
Now, he wouldn't be the same without Cantrell singing vocals.
No,
but it's very much missed.
Or Ringo.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful song. I forget about this
that,
one. Yeah.
This one gets me when you talk about certain parts wow. of it. Just see, we're watching the video now. Isn't this wild?
Yeah, that's cool.
It's just, and it's so moody. There was a time when videos would really capture, almost like reading the liner notes, yeah. you know, to like help inform what the attitude is.
I've never watched this video. This is, okay. I've never seen this before.
Yeah, go watch it. It's
wow.
pretty cool. All right, then there's number 15 is Pinball Wizard.
Now, apparently, this is, and I don't know much about guitar.
It's
but
about Harry Chapin's father.
No. But if you listen to it, it's like an F sharp the whole time.
D
sharp the whole time.
It's D F sharp all the time.
I think it's wait. D sharp D.
Okay, so he's just changing it slightly.
Yeah.
But adding a sharp in there. But he probably is strumming a few different strings at a time to give it that different feel. But see, a really cool version of this song is from, you can find the video on YouTube from the Policeman's Other Ball. It's yeah. all just Pete Townsend and an acoustic guitar, and he's doing the vocals as well. And he just
I love those
strums
albums.
Strums the hell out of that guitar. Just absolutely shreds it.
You can't find, it's hard to find those albums now. You'll find separate songs, but that's a great performance.
All right, here is a badass, and this is a list of acoustic guitar intros on songs. This is a badass acoustic guitar intro. Crazy on You from Heart. And this is Nancy playing this.
I love this.
This is an excellent piece of music right here.
She is a top level guitarist.
She is. Love it. I want to hear a little bit of this. Especially like this part right here. Excellent.
So when I watched this video that this guy created, he played all of the songs himself except for this song. This is the only song.
Do it, could he?
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe he just creep. And it's weird because he didn't have this like number one, but I guess he paid, you know, has so much respect for it that he put the live version of it.
So Crazy on You is number 14. This is on this guy's list, but I'm good with this.
I am
so
totally
far.
Down with this yeah. list. Every one of these songs is a home run.
Here is an outstanding song, Fire and Rain, from James Taylor. Wow.
If you don't.
This song makes me cry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, especially when you know this was the first. James Taylor was the first artist signed to Apple Records.
Yeah.
The Beatles were huge fans.
Yep.
And just yesterday morning, I mean, I've seen him in concert many times. I saw him with Leibach and a couple of death metal, but no, he was
Cannibal Corpse,
yeah. Five Finger Death Punch.
There's a scene in Cheers where Cliff goes, man, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. And Norm goes, Cliffy, everybody's seen fire and rain. Cliff goes, never mind then.
I've seen fire. He's a great guitar player, too. He does the finger picking. He's,
yeah.
He's excellent.
Sweet Baby James is another one of my favorites.
He's one of the greatest guests we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, we had that ISDN line he performed for us.
He took our requests,
yeah.
which was pretty amazing.
Yep.
I did an amazing version of Caroline on My Mind one time.
Karaoke version?
Yeah, karaoke
it was
version.
Moving.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
We played it for him. He loved it,
yeah.
actually. all right, and then speaking of the Beatles, how about this one? There you go.
Mm.
Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah.
One of the greatest love songs ever written, to be honest. No, wait. I'm thinking of something. Never mind.
You're thinking.
But still good.
This yeah. is a beautiful song anyway.
Beautiful.
But this is a great.
It's a love song to the sun.
Acoustic guitar.
You're so song. Big. And you're so hot. You're 93 million miles away from Earth. And yet you keep us warm.
All right, so
and then he changed the lyrics to what we know now.
That's number 12. Bill Weston's in here. You want to add anything, yeah. Man About Town? You're kind of hanging out in the corner there with your mask
dangling. I love listening to these nice eyebrows, Kevin.
Wow, that took 2 seconds.
Oh, my God. They look like caterpillars up there.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. Kind of like Casey in any conversation. Yeah. All right. No, I love conversations like this, just listening and, running through the list and hearing I agree. It was W-O-L-D.
That's a good song, is it not?
It's kind of like about the washed-up DJ got a morning show in Pocatello, Idaho.
Right, yeah.
Kind of over the...
But it is sort of a tribute to radio and your connection to the DJ. Is the very difficult two letters I'm attempting to say.
Is there anything that we haven't mentioned yet that you would say it has a great acoustic guitar intro to it? Just probably on the list.
I have a hard time conceiving things without having you say them first.
Right.
But, so I'll be.
That's the issue with lists like this. I could never put together a list like this because I would just be. I'd go into a loop and try to hash it out. So
I've gone through this list, and there were a couple, I think, omissions that I'm not going to mention until we get through the list.
Right.
But I think this list so far is damn good.
I'm down with it. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful instrument when played, properly.
Casey had brought the list up to me yesterday, and this is the one that I had mentioned, which is number 11 on this list, and it's Roundabout from Yes, because I could play the beginning of it. This is the first part of this.
You can't play the whole part?
Oh, my God. Before it starts really kicking in? No.
This is a... I love Yes. You and I are big into prog rock.
Yep.
And, beautiful.
Now I'm having a...
You can play this.
Steve Howe plays the guitar on this. Yeah, I can play this first part.
By the way, Steve Howe looks like he's out of Lord of the Rings.
He does. If you put him and Angus Young together...
Forget it.
You've got half of the cast of The Hobbit right
That's right. There. All you need is a ring.
Yeah. So this is a fantastic song, and yes, one of the great acoustic guitar intros. All right, how about we go to Simon and Garfunkel?
Number 10, it's Simon and Garfunkel.
All right, what would you think it is without me saying?
I'm going to say, let me see, if it's
acoustic guitar. Now, they was pretty much exclusive acoustic guitar, so it's kind of hard to say which
probably
one it would
be. Biggest hit, Sound of Silence.
Right, and I would definitely put that on there.
Or April Come She Will.
But that's not, it's not either one of those. It is.
Then I'm effed.
It's this.
Are you going to Scarborough Fair? Bustly Saint!
Yeah!
Scarborough Fair.
I love Simon and Garfunkel. And their Central Park concert. Phenomenal.
This is another one that you can put on a bunch of songs. This one, however, is like you got to be in the right frame of mind. Otherwise,
one of Nick's frat parties.
Turn it up, boys! You are going to nod off immediately. All right, so Scarborough Fair. Number 9 is from Zeppelin. Babe, I'm going to leave you.
This is great.
Beautiful, beautiful guitar intro from Jimmy Page.
He doesn't say baby enough, though.
Baby, baby, baby. Baby, baby.
Babe.
Baby.
This is for an ad campaign for Pampers.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Babies need to stay dry.
That was the motivation behind it. All right, how about this? Number 8 is Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially after, this is electric. So technically, this might not even be allowed.
Are we going to allow it, judges?
Yeah, we're going to allow it.
We're going to allow
because
it.
Because the actual acoustic part is as iconic as this processed part.
And listen, so you hear him right before he starts the guitar part, you'll hear him sniff like that. So
because he's crying how beautiful it is.
So he's listening to the playback. Here, listen closely. You hear it?
Wow.
That was it, yeah.
The first time I ever heard
David Gilmour.
First time I ever heard the song was actually.
Wait, I heard something.
Did you hear that? Wait, playback, playback.
All right, here we go.
I don't know if we can. Hang on, can you back it up just a little bit?
Nope.
Oh, never mind. Okay. All right, what were we going to say?
First time I ever heard the song was in college, and it wasn't actually. Jesus Christ.
Can you hear that?
Wait. Turn it up. Yep.
They did that in there. They left that in there so you
That's right.
They seem more human.
Yeah.
That's why the gas. But anyway, you were going to say first time you heard this?
It was in college. It wasn't actually by Pink Floyd. It was,
Larry Chapin.
No, it was some dude in a dorm room, and everybody was singing it, and I'm like, why do I not know this song?
You know? That's great.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
That you heard it the first time like that. What?
So
is it about a White Castle again?
No, it's not. No, it's about acoustic guitar, okay. And this song's not on the list, and I think it's an omission. And for some reason, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the song. I'm so mad.
How does it go?
Well, it's a Beatles song, Blackbird. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
So we used to do this thing here at the station for clients. We would have like a reception, if you remember. And and so in some of the rooms, they would have musicians. And one of the guitarists, I think it was a guitarist from Octane, was in here warming up. And he was tuning his guitar, and he started playing Blackbird.
Okay.
And I looked at him, I go, wow, that's beautiful. I go, did you write that?
Oh, no. And it was Blackbird.
It was freaking Blackbird.
Yeah. An iconic.
Yeah.
Guitar part. So
that song about the birthdays. Did you write that? The happy birthday.
All right. So
I wish that was a lie, and I wasn't, you know, but I don't think up until that point I had ever heard that song. And guys, I was like 35 years old.
You don't think you'd heard Blackbird? Until
I don't
that
think
time?
So.
I guarantee you had to be somewhere where you heard it. You just didn't recall it.
Don't you think I would have recalled hearing that song?
Wow. I mean, okay.
We don't even have it in our system. I can't even play for you dudes.
Not only a great guitar part, but outstanding vocals as well. Okay, so number 7 on this list is from my boys, Rush. It's Closer to the Heart.
Oh, yeah.
This is beautiful, right?
This may... This for me over Tom Sawyer, and I love Tom Sawyer.
Oh, as just a Rush song in general?
Yeah,
the interesting thing about this guitar part is when Alex Lifeson would come up to play... You know, he goes into an electric part, so he had a hard time being able to play the acoustic guitar and then go right into the electric guitar. So he created, he developed and made a special stand that would hold the acoustic guitar.
Yes.
So, and he ended up becoming, that was a product that he created and took off and was very successful in the world.
I see. Now, a lot of people, so he was the one who invented that?
He invented that, yeah.
He invented mayonnaise, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, it's Canadian by nature. So, Closer to the Heart, number 7 on this guy's list. Number six. Another Zeppelin tune, Over the Hills and Far Away. Yeah, this is great. I wish I could play this song on guitar.
It's amazing, cool. And it's in my top 3 favorite Zeppelin songs. Maybe my favorite.
This is my favorite.
Yeah.
Diddly-doo. He does a lot of pulling of the notes, which is cool. All right. Okay. Then you have...
At number 6.
We were just... now we're on to number 5.
Number 5.
We were talking about Boston earlier in the last list, and More Than a Feeling is one of the top songs. I agree. It's great.
Bill, do you understand why does Boston get crapped upon...
Well, I don't know, because it was such a producer's record. It was Tom Scholz in his basement for 3 years, and then he gave Epic the tapes, and boom, there's like, you know, 9 records.
That was it. You know, they were considered sort of a complete studio product.
And some of their songs were about, they were just out of the streets of Boston, and, you know, they tell them the story of what they were, and all that was fictional.
Yeah.
None of that was, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't live that story. They were, like Bill said, they were produced in a basement. So a lot of that rang as hollow.
I once asked Tom Scholz about the line in Rock and Roll Band. Like, we went down to, played a gig in Rhode Island, met a big guy, a big fat car, smoked a cigar, signed our deal to the record label, said, totally fabricated.
Yeah. Okay, that's what Nick's talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so
they're actually from Barcelona.
These are great stories, and they make for a great song, but none of it's true. So, like, if you're looking for genuine storytelling in a band.
They were considered to be a formulated band, and so other bands looked down on that, but whatever, man.
Still solid.
It comes down to not only production, but songwriting. They wrote great songs, so that still stand the test of time. All right, number 4 on this, we go back to the Beatles.
Wait, hang on a second.
We're number four.
Norwegian Wood.
Yeah.
Which sounds a lot like Boston. Okay, here we go.
They were a big inspiration for Boston.
Yeah, this is a great song.
This is Rubber Soul, right?
With the sitar. I believe that's on Rubber Soul, yeah.
This was a departure in sound for the Beatles.
Yes. Yeah, that whole album had some interesting twists on it. That and Revolver.
Nowhere, man.
All right, then you have number three from the Rolling Stones. It's Angie.
You're beautiful.
Your sister hates the song, right?
No, Yeah, we both kind of hated it. Okay. It just says her name over and over and over all the time, and I just kind of got tired of this song. But, I mean, it's a beautiful song, absolutely. But, you know.
Angie.
And plus he says Angie.
Yeah, there's nine syllables in Angie.
Angie. All right, and then with these last two, we get into the Rock and Roll 500 top list. Hotel California is number two. And you know the story after seeing that awesome documentary about the Eagles.
Great.
That it was Don Felder who came up with this. And he was just kind of messing around. He had this kind of Spanish-sounding guitar part and put it on a cassette and gave it to Glenn Frey. And Glenn heard it, and he's like, we got to use this. And there you go. But I think more so than the acoustic intro, the dueling guitar solos at the end
is
the iconic part of this song. So, but you can't deny this part. It's outstanding. And then the last one, number one, Stairway to Heaven.
We don't have number one?
We don't have number one.
No. We don't have a number one.
I know it's a great song. It literally falls into that category of I've heard it so much, it becomes white noise.
Nick, I'm going to pull up the text and see which ones that we're missing out on per listeners. Yes, Bill Weston.
Did you know that we don't schedule Stairway to Heaven on regular rotation on
MMR? I heard it on MMR maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we were doing the special weekend, I guess Memorial Day weekend.
Was it long songs or something? Yeah, but it's not a regular rotation, so, even though it tests in our research.
Yeah.
Super huge, like a top 10, top 12 song.
But Chuck said that was the first time MMR had played it in years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so iconic. It's burned in your brain that you think that you hear it more often than you actually do.
Yeah. So when you do play it on a feature or on a weekend or whatever, it sounds okay.
Yeah.
Listen to it, but it's like, I hear it so often. We don't play it. Maybe a couple times a year, you know.
But yet you get accusations that it's played all the time. Yeah,
I'm kind of surprised Patience wasn't on the list by Guns N' Roses. That's a pretty popular acoustic tune.
Here's some texts that are coming in. So somebody says, would Silent Lucidity count?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful intro on that with an acoustic guitar. That would count.
Huh. That's like Brazen Perspicacity, which is their follow-up hit.
Brazen worked?
Brazen Perspicacity.
Perspicacity. Okay. This is nice. Casey, did you bring this one up or did I bring this one up?
I brought that up. Yeah. I have it ready to go.
Do you have it? Yeah. All right. Casey thought this should be on the list, and I agree.
Oh, yeah. Ventura Highway.
Yeah.
First concert I ever saw.
Really?
I think I got a little boobage.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You think?
Yeah. Well, mom was very giving.
Okay. God rest her soul. This is a great song. Outstanding song. So that's a good one.
One of the guys died recently.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about
it. I was at a bar in Delco within the last decade, and I was having a conversation. I believe I was doing like a ticket raid or something like that, and there was a band in there. And it was just pressed. It was kind of like the band that you were in not that long ago. Just a bunch of dudes who had been playing instruments their whole lives and decided to, like, kind of hang in the garage and play together. And then they were like, wait, we're pretty good at this. And so they just would play bars. They were so damn good. And they did the whole song was all harmony. So they didn't do, you know, lead singer. Okay, just it was awesome.
How about this one? She Talks to Angels. Black Rose.
Oh,
that should be on there. That's excellent.
Is that their best song?
Well, it depends on what you're in the mood for. I mean, I was like Jealous Again is one of my favorite songs from them. But this is, I mean, how can you deny this, man? This is excellent. Although, What's-His-Face wouldn't play it for us when he was in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
Here's where I hit his car key.
Oh, really good.
Nice.
especially these harmonics. That's cool. Let me see. Yeah, a few people are saying She Talks to Angels. What about Burn in Love?
The hell is that?
Elvis.
Oh. Oh. No.
That doesn't have an acoustic guitar intro to it, does it?
Does it?
Starts off like that.
Maybe it's just some guy doing that.
Hole in My Heart from Extreme. No. I mean, and I like Extreme. I like Extreme a lot. But
no Allman's on the list?
No Allman Brothers on the list. What song would be acoustic?
Melissa.
Does it start off
beautiful
acoustic?
Song.
Blue
does
Sky.
It?
Yeah.
Does it, Melissa, it's one of my favorite songs, and I can't recall whether it starts with just an acoustic
Melissa.
Guitar.
It does.
I thought it was a tuba.
Nope.
Boom, boom, boom.
This person says the Beatles are overrated.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes people have opinions that are just their opinions, but that opinion is wrong.
Yes.
Oh, this is such a great song.
What a beautiful song.
There was a commercial, like, for a backhoe or something like that that used this. Like, don't put that music on that.
Right.
Now I can't stop thinking of a backhoe when I hear this.
The movie yesterday, I think, gave me more of an appreciation for what the Beatles are and what they did for music and what they did for humanity. Oh. And at one point, you know, the kid is trying to play Let It Be for his parents.
Yeah.
And he keeps getting interrupted. And he was able to put it in a context that I had never thought of before. But he's like, I'm basically painting the Mona Lisa for you in front of your eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you won't pay attention to what's going on here. And I'm like, no, you're absolutely right. Like, this is art.
Yeah. Yep, you are correct.
By the way, I played golf with a guy named Art yesterday, and he's from New York. And when I asked him what his name was, he said Art. And for Art. Six holes, I thought his name was Art. Okay? And then
accent.
I pulled up behind him, and I saw in his golf bag his name was Art. And I was like, oh, my God, I thought your name was Art.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Grab that guitar and write a song about it.
I'm
right
going to write that. Yeah, give me a second.
This one's called Art. Met a guy I played golf with one time, and I thought his name was Art. Turns out his name was Art, and I think we can all commiserate with that. I once met a dude on the sixth hole. His name was Art.
Or should I say, oh my God.
Oh, God. That's excellent. Okay. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Doesn't matter. Let's move along.
Aught.
You were, Casey was talking about how interruptions can distract you.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Hey, look at Kathy's eyebrows.
Yeah. They just spelled out aught.
Come on.
All right. Interesting list. Two interesting lists. So I figured that'd be kind of nice to go through. All right. We should take ourselves a break. Why don't we do that right about now? We'll come back in just a moment. Don't forget, still pending in a little while, a lesson question. We'll give something away with that. So make sure you pay attention to the show. And, of course, later today, Word of the Week prize, we have a two-night getaway, which I'll tell you about a little bit later on. We'll be back in a moment.
In 1776, our founding fathers told England to suck it. In 2020, 93.3 WMMR is commemorating this with a 4th of July weekend. Because, frankly, we miss live music. And since we've got a long weekend, we're raiding the MM archives, pulling out the best live material we've got, and featuring it every hour. So crank up your Alexa, our app on your phone, or the radio as loud as it'll go, and celebrate our 4th of July weekend.
Sponsored by Hyundai City of Burlington. Shop South Jersey's favorite, HyundaiCity.com.
93.3 WMMR, playing everything that rocks, live.
AMC is pushing back their planned date to begin reopening from the shutdown by 2 weeks.
Okay.
So they're going to put that on hold. I saw that. AMC said yesterday that it will reopen some 450 of its movie theaters on July 30th and the remaining 150 the following week.
Where is that?
AMC theaters.
Yeah, the country.
In general.
Because well, they can't open in New Jersey or Pennsylvania yet.
Right. So, yeah, July 30th, let's see, Monday, June 29th, they'll reopen 450 of them. And then on July 30th, the remaining 150. So Yeah, I don't know, Kat. They're going to have to, I don't know where they're specifying these.
We were talking about drive-ins earlier, Preston, and Delcy and a few other ones came up, and on their list of movies that were going to be played in the next month or so were, in theory, new releases. Like Mulan was on there.
Yep.
And there were a couple other ones that we've talked about as movies that are opening. So there will be places where you can see new movies, new releases. You just got to look for it a little bit.
So those dates have not been pushed back yet.
But they keep getting pushed back, too. You know, so like Bill and Ted's. That got pushed back again by 2 weeks. So, you know, it's just one of those things where you
things are fluid.
Check,
They made the decision because Disney and Warner Brothers said last week they were delaying the release of Mulan and Tenet.
There's the other one, yeah.
To August due to the surge in cases in many states in the South and West in particular. And that same surge means AMC's reopening plans and those of other movie theater chains could potentially change again. So we'll have to wait and see.
I think Mulan looks good. Tenet, I definitely want to see. And then, Steve, do you know Black Widow? Because that's the one that's really on my radar right now.
Yeah, I mean, that movie had to be completed.
Yeah,
I mean, 8, 9, 10 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was supposed to be April, right?
Yeah, yeah. So now it's November. Know. It looks great. We've been waiting for a standalone film for that character. And she's awesome. So, yeah, we'll see.
The current release date on IMDb, anyway, is November 6th of this year. So
it's IMDb.
IMDb.
By the way, speaking of movies, Stephen forwarded this over to me. The elusive 2001 A Space Odyssey spacesuit believed to have been worn by Dr. David Bowman when he killed Hal in the groundbreaking 1968 films going on the auction block next month.
I would love to have that.
Highlight of a Hollywood and space exploration memorabilia show.
Yeah. I know it's going to go for a...
How much was too much for you?
I mean,
those things are investments, man.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they really are.
There's also an investment in my health as my wife plunges a steak knife into my chest when she learns how much I've spent on it. So, I mean, listen, there's a reasonable price, but I think you're talking. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe for a joke, I'll attempt to bid on it if it is online. But
I was going to say, dude, you should go for it, but. And you know how this is. They estimate these things, and then they go way beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
The conservative estimate is $200,000 to $300,000.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So I was thinking like $200 to $300.
Right.
And I don't know if that gets me in the door because, you know.
It's rare because it was thought that Stanley Kubrick had destroyed almost everything from the props and wardrobe.
Really? Why?
From 2001 to prevent their use in other productions without his authorization.
So you didn't want to see the same things popping up in other movies and sort of sully the aura that was 2001 because all of that stuff, the design of the, you know, ships that had pipes and things on the side and all the sort of machinery wasn't always part of the spaceship designs that you'd see in other science fiction movies. But he did that, you know, so you saw levers and attachments and conduits and things like that, and that's what made it so cool. I would love to have that. I mean, you know, when we had Keir DeLay in the studio who played that particular character, Preston, I got him to sign my Blu-ray. So that's worth $200,000 to $300,000.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I have an affinity for memorabilia and things like that, but when you get up to that level, if you get, you know, some really, really expensive piece, then what do you do with it? I mean, you know, you bring it home, you love it for a while, and eventually you're going to get tired of seeing it, or it's not going to mean as much, and I guess you sell it, you know?
So for me, it serves the purpose I just love seeing, love seeing it. And so on a certain level, it serves as a decoration. Like your room, you have golf memorabilia, right? So I have obviously Batman and superhero stuff and sci-fi and things of that nature, and it brings me comfort. A lot of the stuff is actually appreciated in value, which I'm very happy about. It's not, listen, we're not talking crazy money, but it makes me feel good.
I would have waited to show you that information.
I want to do this now.
Yeah, that's why.
Do you have breaking news?
I do. It's right here. I wasn't sure if you were going to hit it now.
Man.
Breaking news.
This doesn't sound good.
Carl Reiner died.
Oh.
Carl Reiner, 98 years old, mind you. Guy lived an amazing full life, but that's sad news.
Carl Reiner.
Wow.
Legend.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that's a massive loss.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about a good run, though, but Jesus, he seemed to be doing quite well. Anything?
He worked last year. I mean, he was in Toy Story 4. He did a voice, and, you know, he was in 40 Asks a Question, a TV series short. I just pulled up his 100 credits worth on IMDb. I mean, he, you know, he was going strong until the end. So
I'm reading this. Steve, it doesn't say anything about cause of death. He was... it says he died.
Wasn't doing that glide suit, was he?
No, it what like a wingsuit?
Wingsuit.
No,
because they told him not to do that.
Monday night, Beverly at his Beverly Hills home. His family was with him when he passed, so they must have been expecting that he was going to go. Mm-hmm. That's terrible.
Carl Reiner. We were talking about legend. You know, in addition to obviously the Dick Van Dyke Show and countless other shows that he was a part of and wrote for. He directed The Jerk and Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid and countless other movies.
He did, Stevie did The Man with Two Brains and All of Me as well.
Yeah.
Which are all Steve Martin titles.
He did a great movie with Dick Van Dyke that's really sort of a serious, darker movie about a silent film star called The Comic. It's brilliant, but no one really knows about it.
Here's some other ones I didn't know, Steve. He directed Summer Rental with John Candy.
Yep, yep.
Summer School with Mark Harmon. Sibling Rivalry with Kirstie Alley and Carrie Fisher.
Boys in the Hood?
No, he didn't do that. That was John Singleton.
That's right.
He was on some hit TV shows, including Two and a Half Men, Hot in Cleveland, House, and, of course, Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13.
Yeah, he was great in those movies.
Great in those.
Son of a bitch.
That's sad news. And I really loved that. Especially did for older people, which was called Wake Up, Read the Obit. If you're not in it, have breakfast or something along those lines. And he was going around talking to people in their 90s, specifically celebrities, and what their life was like at that age.
So Mel Brooks and he would always get together for...
Ice cream.
Yeah, that was...
the ritual.
Who told us that? I think it was...
Greg Fitzsimmons.
Fitzsimmons did that because he lives in Venice Beach, and I guess that's kind of... where they like to go, and they would meet for ice cream every couple of days. And
there's a subtle little scene in Ocean's 11 where the towards the end, where the guys they reveal that they have to lower themselves down in the elevator shaft. And Carl Reiner is one of those people, and like he's holding onto the rope as he goes down, and the camera just freezes on him for a moment, and he has this exhale because he's in his 80s when they filmed that movie, and it's just like he's just sort of pointing to the fact that. He's an older guy doing this thing that Clooney and Matt Damon and Brad Pitt are all doing all as well as part of this heist. And it's just, he was very subtly funny.
There's a great line from that movie where he kind of looks a little bit unsteady and George Clooney's, Danny Ocean goes, are you sure you're up for this? And he turns to him and he goes, if you ever ask me that again, I will kill you.
Daniel?
He doesn't call him Danny either. He calls him Daniel.
No, Daniel, yeah.
Wait, he was a voice in Toy Story 4. Was he in the other Toy Stories, or was it just the last one?
I think the fourth was just his.
Okay.
I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, you have to look up what character
a rhinoceros.
It was.
Carl.
Carl. the rhinoceros. That's great. Wow, and Steve, the 2,000-year-old man.
Great. So that started as just a party thing he and Mel Brooks would do together. I said party twice, so you could obviously assume that it's a party. But anyway, just improvisational comedy. And it was so popular, and the people loved it so much that it eventually became something that they did. They released a number of albums. Mm. Those used to be when you'd put on party albums, comedy albums.
Yeah.
That was the deal.
That's what you do.
And they're super popular.
Everybody would sit around and listen to it. And it was like, it's almost like having a stand-up routine or watching a comedy show on TV with friends and, getting a kick out of it. Wow. Well, that's sad news. That is definitely sad news, but definitely worth noting, of course. Going back to what we were talking about in movies anyway, the spacesuit from 2001 Space Odyssey is... up for auction. They're also auctioning off a few other things, Steve.
I love just the notion of dreaming about the possibility, because they're always going to be far too expensive. I have a couple of things that might be considered, collectible, but they're
from actual movies.
That are collectibles. Yeah. As I was saying before, that have appreciated a little bit, but they bring joy to me, and that's enough.
What are your items?
Well, some of the Batman stuff that I have is, they were limited items, and they've appreciated. And there's one bust in particular that's gone up, in price, but it's not it's not like, oh my God, it's quadrupled in price. It's kind of a percentage.
I got you the Batman comic that came out the month that you were born.
Yes, yeah.
And the only reason that that thing was affordable, because it was actually, it's not mint condition, but it's in really good condition. Yeah. But when I was purchasing it, they said, well, this wasn't like that big of a deal. The comic, nothing really big happened in that comic. Yeah. So that's why,
yeah, you know,
if it was something really big, like, you know, Robin's parents were killed or something
like that.
It would be something,
or the reveal of a new character or something, but it was really pretty much
basically
nothing happened.
But
I found one redeeming comic in my comic collection, which was Wolverine's first title, solo title.
Oh, okay. What was that worth?
It was like $100 or something like that.
Still, you know, that's so, something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's for a comic that was 25 cents or
exactly,
whatever.
Yeah. So I've held on to that.
But a piece of movie memorabilia, if there was one piece that you could have,
man,
anything that like stands. I remember, Kath, you remember.
That's not like a vehicle or something gigantic.
No, nothing like that.
The Aston Martin from James Bond. You're talking about something smaller.
Something
like
smaller.
Sean Connery's head.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not that I was in a lot of movies. Yeah. I was in a lot of movies.
What would you get?
You know what? Probably Moses' staff from the Ten Commandments.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty badass.
That's pretty badass. You know what? Okay, I'll tell you what I would take from the original 2001, and I don't know if they have them. The HAL interface.
Okay.
The red glowing dot.
That's pretty cool.
You can buy mock-ups of those, but to get an authentic original would be amazing.
Yeah. What about you, Case?
Well, now I asked the question without really having an answer. Maybe like Pee Wee Herman's bike, but that's too big. That's too big. That's almost Aston Martin.
No. I mean,
that is not Aston Martin. Pee Wee Herman's bike would be pretty cool.
Bond, we have a new vehicle for you.
It'd probably be better if you narrow it down to something specific like that, like vehicles or weapons or something along
those
lines.
I would love one of the rifles from Aliens.
Okay.
Those are very cool. Now, they sell mock-ups of those for like $600.
See, I would have to go and you know, take like my favorite movies of all time. So if I went to like Stand By Me, for instance, which is a favorite movie of mine, I don't know what piece of memorabilia I would want from that.
Would you want the typewriter that the story's being written on?
Ooh.
You know, that Richard Dreyfuss is typing on? Does that hold any
interest?
Although
that car that he's in while he's reminiscing about that that time.
How about Vern's comb?
That fell in the river.
Yeah.
Fell in the river. It's gone forever.
What piece of Stephen King memorabilia would you have from a movie, Preston?
Oh, one of the movies. Carrie's Bloody Dress, maybe, or something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Or like maybe something from the Goonies.
It has to be, though, is it has to be something that has some sort of inherent way. This is a butter knife that we use. It was used in, Back to the Future. It's like, well, okay.
It would have to be like Sloth's Superman shirt from Goonies or something like that.
Memorabilia takes up space.
And we can't have that.
Where would I put my Target stuff?
What if you could dress it up and make it look nice and it would be decoration?
I don't we can't think I have nice any stuff. Sort of memorabilia, really. Not much or anything significant.
Here are good ones coming in. Rocky's boxing gloves.
Yes.
Indiana Jones hat or whip. That's about as iconic as you can get right there.
I mean, you're talking things like
Luke's light shaver.
His beard shaver.
You get a little scrubby there, aren't you?
Yeah. Let me just get that.
It's as soft as a baby's bottle.
Iron Man suit. A lot of text coming in.
That. I have the original 1-to-1 scale Batman, Iron Man bust.
Right.
And it's in the office right now.
Yeah, but getting an actual prop from the movie would be pretty badass. The typewriter from The Shining, people are saying. There you go. That's a really good
That is,
one.
Yeah.
One-Eyed Willie's patch. The ruby red shoes. Those are in the Smithsonian. The axe from The Shining. That's a good one, too. Excalibur from the movie Excalibur. Uther.
Yeah.
Arthur Uther.
What about Oprah? Ought.
I played golf with Uther.
Nick, what about something from Shawshank?
Wow, if you could get one of the posters, that'd be pretty cool.
Or the rock hammer.
Yeah, the rock hammer would be pretty neat. Or
the Bible.
His judgment cometh in that right soon. The stitch work on the wall. I mean, yeah, really, anything from Shawshank would be great.
The tree.
The tree.
They were actually selling chunks of that.
Yeah.
the tree. Yeah,
the cup of Christ.
No kidding.
From Last Crusade. That'd be pretty cool. I think Giacchino has some props from Indiana Jones and from Star Wars. You know, any lightsaber.
Captain America's shield. That's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Who got that? Somebody. Who was talking about getting that original shield from the first Avenger?
I don't know.
Didn't Peter Jackson give one of the rings to Elijah Wood?
I think so. That'd I think Stephen cool. Colbert got something too because he's a massive Lord of the Rings fan.
How about Horace Thammer?
Horace Thammer is amazing.
Mm-hmm. These are good things. But among these nine items that are going up for auction at the same event are the actual pilot control stick that Neil Armstrong used on the Apollo 11 flight.
Are you effing kidding me?
Uh-uh.
What's that expected to fetch?
$100,000 to $200,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
The actual fake costume from 2001 is going to generate more money than the authentic item?
Believe it or not.
What a world.
And also an Apollo-era spacesuit glove.
Era.
Designed for Neil Armstrong, estimated to $10,000 to $20,000.
You know what a lot of people around here have, I'm sure, is...
Poop knives.
Poop knives, definitely. Yes. Not from a movie, though.
Okay.
But actual piece knife. Of history is pieces of the Hindenburg.
Ah, really? Do you know anybody who does, who has?
You know, my mom said that
Jackie Bam Bam.
She thought that her dad had one because he was one of the firefighters on hand when that went down.
Here, Kathy, my son Carter texted in and said, Wilson the volleyball from Castaway. That'd be for you, right?
No, it would take up space. I would take a picture of it, though. That would be cool. Keep it in my phone.
My bedroom is densely decorated with...
Yeah.
It really looks like a 16-year-old kid's.
With Batman stuff.
But Batman and DC stuff. Of course, I have the full Justice League on both sides of the room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this auction is going to be taking place next month. So if you got the funds, you can go for it. One other quick thing, then we're going to have to take a break. Cirque du Soleil has had to cancel dozens of its acrobatic shows amid the pandemic, and the Montreal-based company has now filed for bankruptcy protection.
That sucks.
They said it plans to let go some 3,500 circus workers and back office employees as part of its restructuring plan. A group of investors will provide $300 million to keep the company afloat during bankruptcy proceedings. I guess they have shows that are going on around the world all the time, right?
Yes.
Because the one...
Everywhere.
The one in Vegas is, obviously, that's a big one. You know, they come through town every now and then, and I've never been, and I've always
You've
wanted
seen them,
to
though,
go.
Before, yes?
On TV. Yeah. I remember the first year I was a kid and HBO had a Cirque du Soleil special. And I was like, this isn't like any circus I've ever seen before.
Where's the elephant?
Wild. Yeah, it was old acrobats.
I saw the Love clowns. Show that they do in Vegas or were doing. I don't know if they're probably going to resume, hopefully, if everyone's not fired.
But they do those traveling circuses that end up like as pop-up tents in Oaks and places like that. And they're great. They're really worth it.
Damn.
Here, I didn't know this. Cirque du Soleil is the largest theatrical producer in the world, performing in 450 cities in more than 50 countries. It began canceling its U.S. shows, including Vegas and Orlando, and international tours in mid-March. And officials said that they have no clear timeline on when they will be able to allowed to get back on stage. The largest in the world. I had no idea. Wow. All right, so, yeah.
That's sad. Yep, very sad.
Hopefully they can hold
get
it together.
Back, yeah.
All right, we should take a break. We are going to do that very thing. When we get back, we're going to get into the Bizarre File. You got anything that I can give? Do we have any giveaways, Case?
We have a couple things.
A couple of those you can
imagine. I don't have that ready.
You don't? No, I have a different page up. There you go.
Where is it? Oh, here it is.
As you can imagine.
Okay. All right,
we have brewskis.
I want to give away beer. A case of beer of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager.
Ooh.
And caller number 18, it is yours, 215-263-WMMR, and it goes well with just about anything. It's a refined malt sweetness combined with gentle noble hops, and Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at Sly Fox locations. You can also order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at SlyFoxBeer.com. So caller 18, yours, 215-263-WMMR. We will be right back.
Now that we're actually leaving the house more often, WMMR reminds you, you're gonna have to put on some clothes.
People! Ah!
And if you gotta get dressed, why not step up your wardrobe game with the coolest threads from the MMR Rock Shop? There's tons of new and throwback MMR designs to choose from that you can't get anywhere else. Look, you can't go out there naked, okay? Seriously, no. So shop the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. All the merch that rocks. And don't forget your pants.
All right, we got some Bizarre File stories for you.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. You can place your order at cinch.com. We'll start with this. An Ohio couple stopped for a slice of Little Caesar's pizza on Saturday night, but were appalled when they opened the box to an offensive message. Did you see this?
No, what is it?
Misty Laska and her husband Jason opened their pizza box to pepperonis placed on their pizza to form a swastika.
Oh, jeez.
And I saw a picture of this thing, and it's, there's no mistaking it.
Have they changed their little character?
Yeah, it's a little, it's a little Nazi now. Yeah.
Nazi.
They snapped a photo of the pizza with a swastika sign that happened to be backwards, actually, and posted it to social media. They say they want folks, the folks responsible to be held accountable. I am curious what they thought when whoever it is made this, what they were thinking. Like, oh, they'll get the joke. Or,
hey, it's a Hindu symbol.
Or the, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the original symbol. Backwards like this, they'll get it.
Or perhaps they'll think they won a contest.
Or how would you think that you would ever keep your job if you did something like that?
Yeah, they'll chuckle.
They say they want the folks responsible to be held accountable. Yeah, they said even if this was just a joke internally for the employees, just stop. Stop with the symbolism and let it go away. A statement from Little Caesar said, we have zero tolerance for racism and discrimination in any form. And these franchise store employees were immediately terminated. We're deeply disappointed that this happened, as this conduct is completely against our values.
And they didn't order pepperoni.
Yeah, how about that? Three people have died, three others in critical condition. One person is permanently blind after apparently drinking hand sanitizer that contained methanol. The cases were reported to the New Mexico Poison Control Center. Health Department confirmed that the cases were related to alcoholism, by the way.
Of course.
Authorities have noted that people with substance abuse issues, particularly within the homeless community, have been known to use sanitizer and other products as a substitute for alcohol and liquor. And Kathy, you were talking about these ones that had methanol in there, and that even putting it on your skin is bad for you. These people were drinking
it.
Health officials have warned against drinking hand sanitizer. And officials said the use of hand sanitizers containing methanol for any purpose may result in poisoning. So, yeah, don't do that. Parents are outraged after seeing a school board member for Western Heights in Oklahoma City drink a beer during a recent meeting.
Was it a Zoom meeting?
I believe so.
Okay.
Many parents are now many parents are now questioning every decision she's made, and others are calling for her resignation. On Thursday night, board member Linda Farley made a motion. Then, while President Robert Everman was calling for a second to the motion, you can see Farley take a sip from a Corona Extra bottle. Her excuse is quite interesting, too. So Everman didn't see what happened during the meeting, but he did see the screenshots, although he still wasn't sure it was a beer. He said, I have no idea. It could have been. He said, I have no idea what it could have been. I have no idea what she may have had. I don't know. Come on. Farley later sent a statement apologizing and confirming that she was, in fact, drinking a beer. She said, I first want to apologize. I made a mistake, and I am sorry if it was caused, if it's caused any embarrassment to our district. I was extremely sick at last night's board meeting and continue to be sick today.
So I thought a beer would help me get over the sickness.
I've been suffering from a severe kidney infection and have been bedbound for the last few days. Even though I was in my own home during the meeting, I should have used better judgment. I was only present because we were not sure we had a quorum to conduct business. Nevertheless, I should not have drunk a beer during the meeting in order to flush out my kidneys. So
that's stupid.
Using beer to flush out.
To flush out your kidneys.
Mm-hmm. I think you'd water.
Yeah, something else.
Nah, it doesn't have the kick.
In hindsight, I should have remained in bed and skipped the meeting. Again, I am sorry, and I can only ask for forgiveness and assure you that it will not happen again. So that was
sick.
She was sick. A man lands himself back in jail for the third time in 4 days. On Sunday afternoon, deputies arrested 32-year-old Devin Roberts for drinking and being in possession of alcohol, which violated terms of his bond from previous arrests. Deputies discovered the violations when pulling over a vehicle and arresting the driver for being under the influence. Roberts was the passenger. On Saturday, the day before, Roberts had been arrested for trying to start a fight with a male grocery store worker and had been making obscene remarks toward female employees. The sheriff, William Gilbert, then found the 32-year-old at his home passed out in the front seat of a running vehicle while under the influence of alcohol. He already had a suspended license from previous DUIs. He also left his 3-year-old son at home with another adult who was also inebriated.
Okay.
At that time, he was out on bond for felony theft after stealing equipment from the city. On Tuesday, Roberts had called the sheriff's office and a deputy come to his home. He told the deputy that he had taken a waterproof case that was sitting next to a dumpster. He then told law enforcement when he opened the case and inside were items labeled as property of the city. However, deputies later found out the case had been taken from a city building and contained emergency lights, hydraulic pumps, and other items that were valued at more than $5,000. So he stole it. He faces multiple charges stemming from these incidents. So in 3 times in 4 days, he got arrested.
I want to apologize for not going 4 for 4.
And then one last story, and there was a picture of this. An elderly couple was holding up traffic heading to the beach in Florida by riding their electric scooters on the highway.
No. Oh, my God. Oh,
and they are on a highway bridge, so yeah, there was no way for people to get around them. The pair were riding alongside each other with American flags prominently displayed on the unusual mode of transport. They led a long line of cars crossing a bridge heading towards the beach in Navarre, Florida. People are not required to have a license to drive a scooter in the state and are not allowed to drive on footpaths, apparently.
What's the speed those things max out at?
So maybe the highway. The
5 miles an hour?
Maybe 5 miles an hour. That's what I'm thinking. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for now. We're going to break, and when we come back, we'll see. We'll see. You've been paying attention because we'll have a lesson question from today's program and some stuff to give away. We'll get into a few other things, too. Stay there. We'll be right back.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
There's a new Daily Rush video. We have two. I'm just going to tell you about one for now. Tell about the other one tomorrow. You can go see them both now if you want to. The one I'm going to mention now is called Tanuk. And you can spell Tanuk backwards if you want to and figure out what that is. But scientists, it says, did a test to see which curse word helps alleviate pain. And we like Tanuk. So that video is now available at PrestonAndSteve.com, as is multiple Preston and Steve Daily Rush videos that you can check out. And they are sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So if you would, please take a look when you get a chance. They're usually pretty short, too.
Yes.
They're very easy to watch a bunch of.
5 minutes.
If you want to. All right. So today's lesson question, we're going to give away an Italian Lover's gift basket from Pastine. Home cooking. Never tasted so good. So Pastine is what you'll win. All right. And the question that I have for you is, which word did Skynyrd fans have trouble understanding? 215-263-WMMR. Which fan do Skynyrd, which word do Skynyrd fans have trouble understanding? And you had to have heard it. Don't even try to guess. 215-263-WMMR. While you're calling in, we're going to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, see what we get today. What's going on, Steve?
Well, Kim Kardashian's cosmetics and fragrance empire is now valued at $1 billion after receiving a huge investment from Coty Incorporated. Coty issued a statement saying, quote, Kim Kardashian believes that beauty springs from the inside and then collides with the plastic shell on the outside.
Yeah.
Catherine McPhee and David Foster celebrated their first year of marriage over the weekend. The legendary 70-year-old music producer and the 36-year-old singer reportedly celebrated with a romantic 2 o'clock dinner followed by a super sexy sponge bath. And finally, Megan Fox admitting she was attracted to her new boyfriend, Machine Gun Kelly, because of his tattoos, saying her estranged husband, Brian Austin Green, doesn't have any. When reminded that Green actually does have tattoos, Fox responded, "You don't say."
All right, let's get an answer. We want to find out which word Skynyrd fans have trouble understanding, and I will go to Kevin for that answer. Hey, Kevin, how you doing, man?
Oh, hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good. All right, what is the word that Skynyrd fans have a hard time understanding?
Rhetorically,
yeah. Hang on, Kev. You got it right, and that means we are going to give you an Italian Lover's gift basket from Pastine. Home cooking never tasted so good. Pastine, leading importer of authentic Italian ingredients since 1874, makes it easy to prepare delicious meals at home with a variety of pasta cuts, tomato sauces, grated cheeses, and more. Shop Pastine at your local grocery store or have it delivered by visiting pastine.com. Music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, the band Tool has confirmed that Gibson Custom Shop is working with Adam Jones on recreating his original 1979 Les Paul Custom Silverburst guitar for a signature model. The axe has most recently been seen on the band's tour in support of its latest album, Fear Inoculum. Tool fans and guitar aficionados got an inside look at the process last week when the band shared an image on social media that showed some of the instruments in production at a Gibson factory. Jones told Guitar World last year about the Silverburst Customs. He said, "I remember buying my first one and the guitar salesman really tried to talk me out of it. I have a true love for that color and that guitar in general, and I believe that particular metallic paint does something to the tone or the resonance or the polarity somehow." Jones added that he has a total of 6 actual vintage Silverburst Gibson Les Paul Customs, several of which he used on the road, and the price and release date of Jones' Gibson signature model has yet to be unveiled. Dirty Honey has shared an acoustic version of its song Down the Road as the latest installment of its Suitcase Sessions online series. The band launched the series when its plans to travel to Australia to record new music were put on hold due to the pandemic. The latest clip was shot on a Los Angeles day with the downtown skyline and Dodger Stadium as a backdrop. Dirty Honey had been writing and demoing new material at its home studio in Los Angeles with producer Nick Didia. I'm not sure how you pronounce
Doodoo.
His name. Nick Doodoo, consulting the band via Zoom. They hope to record their first full-length album in either Los Angeles or Australia, depending on travel restrictions. Didia and his studio are based in the latter's country city of Brisbane. Hailstorm singer Lizzie Hale hinted in a new interview the band's next album could be a double LP set.
Ooh!
Referring to the pandemic, Hale explained, "We've been writing a lot, so there will be new music at some point. Maybe there'll be a double record because of all this." She hinted that a number of projects she's been working on, even before the outbreak, will roll out throughout the rest of the year. She said, "The funniest thing for us is that since this pandemic started, we're busier now than maybe we would have been. I kind of inadvertently been preparing for something like this. And there will be a rollout of releases and duets and projects that I've been working on the past year so that we now have an opportunity to shine."
Double albums in general are slightly, you know, less common because songs are released in a different way. But when you release a double album, that's pretty cool. It used to be fairly common.
Yeah. James Hetfield's collection of custom-built classic cars is now on display in a 27-minute video shared online. He donated the collection to the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles in 2019, with the vehicles going on display to the public earlier this year.
He's got some really cool stuff.
While the vast majority of collectors acquire vehicles just by purchasing pre-existing examples, Hetfield elected to instead build his from scratch.
That's sick.
Channeling his... I didn't know Cowper was a fan.
Absolutely.
Channeling creativity, often reserved for his music, into the production of what have been described as rolling sculptures.
The sculptures in there are thick. some of them are very futuristic looking.
As previously reported...
It's up on the screen here, Preston. Look at this.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
Sick.
A book about Hetfield's cars, Reclaimed Rust, the four-wheeled creations of James Hetfield, but will be released on July 28th, by the way. This is a pretty funny story. Slipknot singer Corey Taylor is campaigning for a new position as the lead vocalist of a Slipknot tribute band.
No. Oh, that'd be so cool.
The ad came from a New Jersey outfit called Steve... Of the Sick.
Of the Sick.
Yes.
Could you imagine you show up to see what you think is a Slipknot cover band? And, man, this lead singer's really good.
Of the Sick promoted themselves as the most accurate Slipknot tribute in the world.
The Sick Slipknot tribute band.
Taylor saw an ad on Craigslist at Reddit.
Slick Slipknot singer.
That said, established Slipknot tribute seeking accurate, dedicated Corey Taylor, adding that they needed someone in the same or near same physical shape as Corey Taylor, 5'8". Taylor shared the link on Twitter responding, if you're interested, I'm also sitting at 166 pounds. Some fans have interpreted that to mean Taylor was giving the band his weight in the interest of accuracy, while others suggested he was jokingly applying for the band. In addition to singing with Slipknot and Stone Sour.
Singing with Slipknot and Stone Sour is so thick.
Taylor's been working on a solo album and has also written books, acted, and done spoken word tours.
Spoken words.
That's correct. And then we'll do one last story, and this is actually an email that I got from a listener, Michael Collins. Not the astronaut.
Okay.
Who was raised in Philadelphia.
It would be an honor, sir, if you are listening.
Lives in Westchester, and he let me know about a limited edition beer that is being produced by Carton Brewery in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. And it is a tribute to Neil Peart.
Oh.
And the name of the beer is called Pronounced Peart, Peart, because everybody calls him Neil Peart.
Right.
I did for ages until I heard the man himself say that it's pronounced Peart. So the name of the beer is called Pronounced Peart, P-I-E-R-T. So I thought that was pretty cool, and it's a lime-lighted Canadian lager. Oh, lime light.
I love that. Are you going to get some?
I doubt it, because Michael said he took a two-hour drive to go there and get some. So it's one of those where you got to go wait in line, I guess, and get your beer.
Maybe they can
so.
Send you some.
That'd be nice to send me some. But I thought that was pretty cool. So
I like the label.
That's cool. Kudos to Carton Brewery in Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. All right, and there you go. That's your music news report for today. We got another break to take. I saw Brent Porsche getting all geared up and ready for his radio program today as he's going to fill in for Pierre once again. So we'll find out what he's got going on. And also we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize when we return. Stay there.
In 1776, our founding fathers told England to suck it. In 2020, 93.3 WMMR is commemorating this with a 4th of July weekend. Because frankly, we miss live music. And since we've got a long weekend, we're raiding the MM archives, pulling out the best live material we've got, and featuring it every hour. So crank up your Alexa, our app on your phone, or the radio as loud as it'll go, and celebrate our 4th of July weekend.
Sponsored by Hyundai City of Burlington. Shop South Jersey's favorite, HyundaiCity.com.
93.3 WMMR, playing everything that rocks, live.
I will simply quote this text from an anonymous texter that says, Thunderstruck, F yes. Just smoked a J in painting all day. Let's go!
Yeah.
That's for you, my friend.
Bill W.
93.3 WMMR. Bill W.
Thank you, my office.
10:33, Tuesday morning, coming to a close for us. And we're going to make way for a gentleman who is filling in this week and is going to have a damn good time doing it. We present to you Mr. Brent Porsche.
Hey, yes. Good morning, everybody.
Who is here once again. Nice to see you again, sir.
You as well.
How are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
You look like you used your beard oil today.
I did.
Yeah,
your beard and Kathy's eyebrows are phenomenal.
quaffed.
I always tell Jackie when I come in at night that if my beard is like super poofy, that means I washed it. But I put the beard oil, the beard balm in to kind of tame it a little
It's shaped. It's got a straighter, more.
As opposed to the straight Amish look.
Do you play with it a lot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess it's one of the
things. Twirl my fingers.
You do twirl in it?
Yeah. I can twirl it. I do the ponytail. I can do pigtails in it.
Do you do the ponytail?
I'm not a fan of the ponytail.
The thing is when I'm eating and stuff like that. So, you know, when I'm eating cereal and stuff like that, all the milk ends up in it. So I just ponytail it up and then
Good
to go. Yeah, that would be a liability. It'd be hard to get used to that.
It's hard shaving underneath, too. So I pigtail it out on the sides and I do a ponytail up front so I can get the clean stuff underneath.
Oh, yeah, okay. It actually is a lot of work. It really is. Yeah.
There's a lot of maintenance, a lot of discipline involved to keep a shapely beard.
Yes.
And Brent Porsche is your man. All right, ready for the letter, man?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter U, as in Uma Thurman.
All right, and we do have, there she goes. We do have the two-night getaway at one of three gorgeous Icona Resort properties in Avalon, Cape May, and Diamond Beach. And it's valid through May of 26 of 2021. The experience peace at the shore. Icona Resorts, Avalon Diamond Beach, and Cape May Beachfront Hotels are the perfect escape. You can book today at Icona.com. That's Icona.com. What's up for today's program, ma'am?
So workforce blocks today. Today is actually the 43rd anniversary of the release of Love Gun from Kiss. So we're going to be highlighting some songs from that. 311, one of my favorite bands. They were actually in the area this time last year for the Warped Tour. It's the 25th anniversary down there on the beach in Atlantic City. And today's the 45th anniversary of the Rolling Stones playing the Spectrum with the Commodores.
What?
We're going to do a block of the Stones coming up as well.
With the Commodores.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And we're going to be celebrating the birthday of somebody from Pantera as well coming up in the program. Yeah.
All right. We will experience that with Brent. Thank you, Brent. And then I want to thank our sponsors, too. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and also HERS, the official chip of making the most of your summer. And Meineke, doing car care right. Tomorrow, we got a couple things going on. It's Wednesday, so Fox Good Day. We'll do that. We will have a secret text word with a prize, chance for you to win some goodies. And we'll also have us. We'll also have joining us Perry Gilpin, Roz from the show Frasier.
Yeah,
among other things, will be on the show.
Working on a reboot of that.
That's awesome. Right. Yeah, I love that show.
It's a great show.
So that's it. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow, friends. Bye bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Burnout Betty over here. Yeah, throw your Christmas tree into the fire. The lights, they're crazy. Idiot. All you need, you get a piece of copper pipe about 6 inches long, a piece of garden hose about the same. Stick the garden hose in the copper pipe, crimp the ends of the pipe, put it in the fire. You got Norwegian firewood. It's 9 different colors. You're welcome.
Next message.
Just wanted to give a very special shout out to the love of my life, the beautiful Kathy. Hope you have a great day.
Next message.
I drive the New Hope every day, and every day there's a gaggle of bicycles clogging up the road when there's a perfectly good bike path 50 feet away on the canal. Get off the road!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack! Sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.